We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't realize George W. Bush was
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, come on, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, come on, sister.
Tonight, remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you took a 1999 engine and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
City's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I want to talk about something. I suspect that we're going to hear this on the world, the global news report, but it's such a delicious story that I have to jump out front and share with you now. I can't wait. As I describe this to you, I want you to kind of close your eyes and imagine this. And I also want you to kind of mentally juxtapose your imagination of what this looked like next to your understanding of how messed up this country is with regard to the Iraq occupation, the Iraq war. In New York, a bunch of women, 75 years and up, showed up at a army recruiting station, and they said, "Take me." They said, "You know, apparently y'all are hiring everybody else, y'all are recruiting everybody else, you're going to jails. You're lowering your standards about mental capabilities. You're taking folks that are not even citizens. You're recruiting people that aren't citizens, providing them with fake green card, fake information. You're lying to students to get them to come on. Here I am. Take me." A 175-year-old woman, Betty Brassel, she said, "I'm a double grandmother. I have a great-grandson. I'm sorry, I forgot to bring his picture." They asked for the bonuses, enlistment bonuses. And what was so funny is the plan was they were going to go there. They were going to try to enlist. And when they were refused enlistment, they were going to have a sit-in. And the funniest thing was, is one of the, when it was time to do the sit-in, one of them who was on a walker said, "Well, I can't sit, but I'm going to lean down as low as I can on a walker." 15 went to try and enlist, and then once that failed, they were going to hold a sit-in outside of the booth. One woman was blind. One granny was blind, knocking on the door. "You're not hearing? Are you hard of hearing? Let's get cracking here. We want to enlist. What's the matter with you?" And the thing about it is, the recruitment station locked the doors to the granny. They were big old strapping men with uniforms and sidearms. locked the door against 15 grannies on walkers, blind, double grandmas. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? As the one woman who couldn't sit down, as she did her best to crouch, Police Lieutenant Kevin Lee approached with a bullhorn and had a script of his own. "I'm ordering you to leave this pedestrian area," he read from a sheet of paper. "No way! We insist we enlist!" Whoo! I love the idea. I love the idea. And what is interesting is the police were solicitous. The police were nice. The police were gentle. They asked one granny, and I don't know how he's going to go home to his mama or to his grandmama. One officer asked one woman as he handcuffed, a 75-year-old woman, as he handcuffed her hands behind her back, "Are you all right? Are those too tight?" And these are women that were, veterans of protest. So when they filled the police van with 15 70-plus year-old women on walkers, some blind, hobbling into this van, many of them were into the police van. Many of them were very familiar with the inside of a police van because they had protested before. And as soon as the grannies were gone, the shaken recruiters came out and unlocked the doors, looking for 17-year-olds to drag into war. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Yes.
This is Josephine calling.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard that conversation you had with that fellow yesterday about that deal on the bridge where they threw the girl off.
You're talking about the Chain of Rocks case.
Yes, ma'am.
Marlon Gray, who was has been wrongfully accused and wrongfully convicted. Yes.
Well, did he admit that he participated in the rape of that young lady?
Well, how much of the show did you have a chance to hear, Josephine?
Well, I heard this last night on another station, on another talk show.
Okay. Well, I had Marlon Gray on my show for 3 hours. And during the course of the conversation, Marlon Gray described Cummings, a white person, the cousin of the two young women. And he described how he had been beaten by the police. On the other station, did you hear how the cousin also said that he had been beaten by the police?
No.
And the white cousin said, "I had been beaten by the police." And you know what the city of St. Louis did? The police department paid him $150,000 and said that they had violated his civil rights. So Marlon had talked about being beaten by the police before the white cousin of the two women said that he was beaten by the police. And he said over the course of 4 hours, he described the beating as the police. And I used to be a public defender, and I tried a lot of cases, and I worked on many cases. And in the city of St. Louis, one of the cops that was involved in the Marlon Gray case, in the Chain of Rocks case, was well known out in the community by prosecutors, by judges, by defense attorneys, as a cop that would go around, beat kids, plant drugs on kids, and was a lawless reputation. This was one of the cops that was in the room with Marlon Gray. He picked up a booking book, a big, thick, hard-covered book, and they beat Marlon Gray over his head so that the bruises would not show.
Oh, my.
And he talked about how when the book hit his head, he said, imagine, if you will, a pain that goes from the tips of your head, from the top of your head, all the way shoots down directly to the tips of your
head. Oh, my God, have mercy.
Beat him and for 4 hours like that. And Marlon talked, to me, the part that wanted to make me, that made me want to cry. Marlon said, I've been in jail for 14 years. I've seen stabbings. I've seen things that would scare anybody in America to death. He said, the thing that scares me the most, the thing that causes me the most pain is the fact that I gave in and admitted to something that I didn't do after 4 hours. He said, when I close my eyes at night, that's the terror that I see is not the guy getting stabbed in the cell next to me, is the terror of reliving that brutal beating in that room. He said, and Marlon said, and this makes sense. He said that he said they beat me for so long, they finally said, okay, if you admit to the rape, we'll stop beating you. So he said he did not admit to did not say I did the murder. I did the rape. And you know why he said he finally did that? He
yes,
said,
I can.
Because he said, I know that I could disprove the rape. Because when they take the samples, they're not going to find me anywhere close to that. So he said, I'll admit to that because I know I can prove that they're wrong on that.
Oh,
And you know what the police did? The police never took a sample from him. Never took a...
You're kidding me.
A hand to God.
Oh, my
hand
God, have mercy.
Hand to God. So, did you hear any of that on the other radio station?
That's unbelievable.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm sure glad I called you. This was bothering me all night because I didn't hear your entire show.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had come in and distracted me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad I called you. Thank you for relieving my mind.
All right, take
God
care.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. It's a heartbreaking case. It is an absolutely heartbreaking case. All day long, I talked with people about that case. I received emails from people about that case, people telling me that they couldn't bear the pain of listening to this. This is an outrageous act of injustice. Simply, there are two things that just should stay in your mind. Actually, the three things that should stay in your mind about this Marlon Gray case. One, the cousin said, I reached out to hug her. She thought I was coming on to her sexually. She thought I was doing something else, and she fell off the bridge. Her sister jumped in the bridge, over the bridge, and into the water after her. That's what the cousin, her white cousin, Cummings, said. Remember this, know this. Cummings said in another statement to the police that Marlon and the other three people that were charged with this were trying to rob this woman. And when the women jumped off of the bridge or were pushed off the bridge by Marlon and the other co-defendants, Cummings said, I jumped in after them. He fell, allegedly, or just theoretically, what he's asking us to believe is that he fell 80 miles an hour into a 52-degree, this is not a stream, this is the Mississippi River. He also said in his statement that he was able to catch up with his cousins. Now remember, he theoretically jumped in after them. He lifted one of his cousins, he jumped into the water, lifted one of his cousins up, and she became too heavy for him, and he had to let her go, and he made it to shore. The Corps of Engineers said that given the speed of the river, we're talking about the mighty Mississippi River. Cummings should have ended up 12 miles from the place where theoretically he said that he jumped. Now, this is the statement that he came into court and told the jury as well. And there are at least five or six or seven witnesses that said when Cummings was found, his hair was dry and neatly combed, that the water that was on him only reached from his to his waist, a little, maybe a little up to his chest. When the police did sediment checks in his hair, you've all seen CSI, you know how it works. There was no mud, there was no sediment, there was no evidence of his head being underwater. The simple fact, just the simple fact of saying that your story is, I jumped off of a bridge to save my cousins into the Mississippi River and my hair never got wet, is enough for reasonable doubt when you are the state's star witness. And oh, once he finally changed and committed to the story that Marlon did it, he got a $150,000 check from the St. Louis police officers admitting to their violation of his civil rights. How long did the police fight Ellen Reason over about her violation of her civil rights? How long did they fight her? They didn't fight him at all. He got his money right away. If you want to call, you should call, you must call. Marlon is set for execution on October 26th at 12:01 a.m. No prior criminal record, no violent behavior in prison. Call Governor Blunt at 573-751-3222. Fax him at 573-751-1495. Call him in St. Louis, 340-6900. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock, AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by the makers of Maximum Strength, Zantac. Northbound 270 between Gravoy and 44, there's a medical emergency, reportedly be a sick case in a tractor trailer. Eastbound 40, Timberlake, there's an accident reported. Northbound 55 between Lindbergh and Loughborough, nothing to report there. Eastbound 70 from 370 to St. Charles Rock Road, everything's running smoothly. Westbound 270 between Bell Fountain and Washington Elizabeth, nothing to report there. Northbound 270 at 44, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 between TRUs and 79, you've got slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 from Exchange onto the PSP. Everything is still running smoothly this hour. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Looks good. Northbound Route 3 at Poplar Street Bridge. Nothing to report there. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank onto Laclede's Landing. Everything is running smoothly. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the makers of Maximum Strength Zantac. It's so fast it prevents heartburn before a meal, and so fast it quickly relieves tough heartburn so you don't get impatient. Get Maximum Strength Zantac 150 today. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Warmer today, mostly sunny, high around 80 this evening. Mostly cloudy, a chance for showers, low around the mid-50s. For Thursday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, possible thunderstorm even, with a high in the lower 70s. Thursday evening, showers to continue with a low in the mid-50s. And then on Friday, mostly cloudy skies, a chance for showers with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You're looking to get into real estate. Where do you go? What do you do? Call Lisa at 314-629-7830. Properties available from $50,000 to $200,000. Available with no money down. Take your choice of area, St. Louis City, St. Louis County, or St. Charles County. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Get into the game. Make the first move. call Lisa Krempaski, 629-7830. That's Lisa Krempaski, 314-629-7830.
Congratulations! You found Radio Free St. Louis online at WGNU.net. Remember, we're also at 920 on your AM dial in the St. Louis metropolitan area.
If you like to get things done in one easy step, Regional Exposure 2005 is the place to be on Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. at St. Clair Square. Just one stop to see exhibits that represent hundreds of manufacturers, distributors, and services from around the region. Whether you're looking for new siding at the Anchor Siding Display or that unique craft item, product, or service you didn't even know you wanted or needed, you'll find it at Regional Exposure 2005. Plus, lively entertainment and dozens of prizes to be given away all weekend. Regional Exposure 2005, Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square. Sponsored by Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. More details at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Hello, St. Louis. It's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy, inviting you to join us for the Travel Planner Show every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4.
We'll talk travel, share our experiences, tell you about some great deals and steals, and give you some travel tips like this.
We always cross-pack at least one change of clothes in each other's bag, just in case a bag gets lost.
Plus, it sure does give the security guys a good laugh when they see those little panties in my bag.
So tell a friend. It's the Travel Planner Show from 2 to 4 every Saturday afternoon
on Radio Free St. Louis, 920 WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Good morning, Dee.
Whenever Jay Nixon runs, we must always remember to actively fight against his campaign. Always. You know, because it's really horrible what he's done.
And,
disagree.
And if I can, if I might, just bring the audience up to speed on it. Jay Nixon is the Attorney General for the state of Missouri. Jay Nixon wants to be governor of the state of Missouri. Jay Nixon is the reason why Marlon Gray is facing the death penalty right now at this time. His case has been accelerated. His case is at the top because Jay Nixon, and Jason, Jay Nixon's office made it so. And the issue here is that, remember, Jay Nixon is the one who we've had report after report every single year that reports were being made. In fact, they started under Jay Nixon that police officers are supposed to report the numbers of black people and white people that they pull over. And a lot of cities have not done it. And Jay Nixon has not fined them, not punished them one iota.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, we got to remember another thing. I hope Romney doesn't hear about the granny signing up. Because he might want them. Remember reverse mortgage?
There you go.
Okay.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Do remember, watch what people do. Jay Nixon and all the Democrats. Jay Nixon is supposed to be an individual that is an attorney. And who looks at the facts. Who looks at the specifics. And determines and recommends what should be done with one case or another case. Jay Nixon didn't do anything to the municipalities that did not punish, that he could have taken away money, as a law allowed him to do that, to do, for the municipalities who did not keep the statistics of who their cops were stopping. You know who's done something? Matt Blunt. This is part of the blind squirrel finds a nut theory. Clock, a broken clock is right twice a day theory. This isn't an active act of doing right. This is a stumbling upon an act. I'm not trying to give any credit to him. What I am saying is that Jay Nixon had an opportunity for year after year after year after year to punish the districts that have not taken the stats as they are required by law to do of who is being stopped, when they're being stopped, and why they're being stopped. Remember that. And remember that Jay Nixon is the reason why there has been an execution date set of October 26th for Marlon Gray. He wants your vote. We have to hold people accountable when they do evil to us. We cannot let them get away with that. We cannot let them get away with that. It is unacceptable. And any Democrat that is in the same vein of that, with that, we can't support them either. Please make some phone calls. And I'm thinking about a couple of things. October 26th, that's Wednesday morning at 12:01, a week from today. Exactly a week from today is the execution date. I think the folks need to be down there. I think the folks need to be down there. Bondair Prison is where, this is near Farmington, is where the execution would take place. This case illustrates so clearly why the death penalty is wrong. And I believe that we need to have a presence there. Mm. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920. Call the governor. Call the governor at 573-751-3222. Fax the governor at 573-751-1495. Call 340-6900. It is so wrong. It is so outrageous, and it is so wrong. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We're going to take a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me.
My life go by, and at times I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have faith it can get better tomorrow. But it won't if you keep treating me like I'm invisible.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline London. A British newspaper says the London chief of police is considering resigning because of the shooting death of an innocent man the day of the subway bombings. Ian Blair reportedly told a private gathering of business leaders and officials this week that he may have to step down fairly soon. 27-year-old John Charles de Menzies of Brazil was shot 7 times by London police on July 22nd after he was mistaken for a suicide bomber. The chief said his role in the matter is now being investigated by the Independent Police Complaints Commission. Prime Minister Tony Blair had tried to crush that investigation, saying it was a possible compromise to national security. The Sunday Times is reporting that when the board finishes its report by the end of the year, a horror story will be told. And Dateline Washington. News sources on Capitol Hill say a senior White House official is cooperating with prosecutors in the case of who outed Valerie Plame. Those sources say it is either Vice President Dick Cheney or someone in his office close to him. Also included in the scrutiny is a 9-member team called the White House Iraq Group. This team was set in place in August of 2002 to educate the public about the threat to the United States due to the weapons of mass destruction Iraq was supposed to have, or in other words, to sell the war to the American public. Rumors are running rampant in Washington this week that if Vice President Cheney is the one cooperating with prosecutors, he will resign, and the president will appoint Condoleezza Rice as his vice president. Some of the evidence that has been uncovered suggests that Cheney's longtime contempt for the CIA could make him the logical candidate, plus the assumption that he has had a falling out with President Bush. This is your wake-up call global news update.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Get the show. AutoZone. Cooling system failure is the number one cause of engine-related breakdowns. So get to AutoZone and pick up some antifreeze today. If you don't flush and fill your car's cooling system every other year, that old, weak antifreeze won't give your engine the protection it needs. And that could lead to some costly repairs down the road. It's fall car care season, so get to AutoZone, pick up some antifreeze, and make sure your engine is ready for the road ahead.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. Jeff, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Liz. How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding.
Good. Listen, I was just listening to this news update that you give prior to the end of each hour. They stated on that there's a possibility of Dick Cheney being indicted with this exposure of the CIA agent.
Valerie Plame, yes.
Okay. And should he be indicted, then President Bush would appoint Condoleezza Rice as his vice president.
He would step down, or even if he wasn't indicted, he could step down because of his participation in the case.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumors are flying all over Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. that Bush would appoint Condoleezza Rice to stand in his shoes.
So there is some validity to what, or at least rumor-wise.
I'm just rumor-wise. I haven't seen any notes or any memos, but that's the rumor mill in Washington, D.C.
All right. I was just curious. That sounds exciting to me.
Why is that exciting to you?
Well, they're falling one after another.
But like I hate to see Condoleezza Rice fall up.
Yeah, that's true.
It was supposed to fall down.
Right.
Okay.
All right, you have a great day.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Joyce, good morning.
Good morning. Can't talk too long. I just want to alert you that Governor Blunt and Mayor Slay are going to be hosting a big breakfast this morning from 7:30 to 9 at 5021 Waterman at the Central Reformed Congregational Church.
5021 Waterman?
Correct.
All right.
The governor and the mayor from 7:30 until 9 this morning just found it out.
Very good.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Mrs. White, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, turn your radio down, please.
I don't have my radio on except you.
Turn that down, please.
Okay, is that better?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I wanted to hear me on you. I'm calling regarding the man that you had on yesterday morning.
Marlon.
The day before yesterday that wrote the book about Bush on the Couch.
Yes.
Is it possible for you to put forth some effort to get him on a primetime program? Because
at my club meeting,
I asked my club members if they had heard it,
mm-hmm.
and none of them had. And I want the world to hear about this man we have as our president.
Well, you're asking me to see if I can get him on somebody else's show.
I know that's silly, isn't it?
And it ain't happening.
But
and it ain't happening.
You don't think you could get on a primetime program where people could hear about it?
Well, this is a primetime program. What people can do, they can, some of your people, first of all, the people that you hang out with need to be listening to the show.
That's what I told them.
And then secondly, what they need to be doing is they can go to whiterosesociety.org and they can download the show themselves and you can download the show and pass it around to your friends.
WhiteRoseSociety.org. Okay.
And you can get the book, and you all can sit around and have a book discussion about it and get your friends hooked on the show.
Okay, and the name of the book is Bush on the Couch.
Bush on the Couch.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mrs. White.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And the toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. The WhiteRoseSociety.org is where you can catch shows that you have missed. And I do want to do this. I want to do two things. I want to give you a heads up on two things. We're looking for volunteers for the blanket drive. I'm looking at an article in the New York Times today talking about in their business section. Advertisers are already pushing Christmas. They're scared about the oil prices, the heating prices, the gas prices. Their strategy is, let's get those dollars out of their hands now, because once winter hit, nobody is letting go of any kind of money. They're already pushing people to companies, businesses are pushing Christmas holiday shopping as we speak. And there's a reason for that. Well, I want to give you all a heads up. And I'm not talking about buying presents. I'm talking about the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. We are going to need volunteers, and we're going to need people to get blankets. Remember last year, we got blankets for $5 a piece. $5 a piece. We need volunteers to help hand the blankets out on Friday and Saturday, November 18th and 19th. Need your help. Need your assistance. Everybody that volunteers will get a wonderful design by Mark Carroll T-shirt, blanket drive T-shirt to wear. It's a wonderful thing to do. We're doing this for homeless people. And there are going to be a whole lot more homeless people out there this winter, folks. So please call. Call the station now. Leave your name and address with Howard. Call 454-6660. We need volunteers for the blanket drive. You get a free T-shirt, and you will be secure in the knowledge that your decision to act early was a decision to act early for other people, for those that really, really need it. So please call the station at 454-6660. Get your fraternities, get your sororities. Start planning it now. Put aside $20 this month. put aside $20 next month. That's 10 blankets right there. That's 10 blankets right there. If you put aside 20 this month, put aside $20 a week. If you put aside $20 a week up until the blanket drive, that's a lot of blankets. That's a lot of blankets. And it's $20. Put aside, have your children put aside $20 a week. $20 a month. Let's get 5 blankets. We can do this, folks. Put competitions down. Throw the gauntlet down for your sororities, for your fraternities, for your church members. When the wake-up call partners with Carver House, then we do our second annual blanket drive. Last year, 2,000 blankets. This year, 5,000. We can do this. Put aside $20 a week. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. St. Louis Public Schools Watch is next. Stay with us. We have much business to tend to.
A struggle against the common enemy of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, war, and
health. WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Alex Stone. A defiant Saddam Hussein has entered a not guilty plea to ordering the killings of more than 140 people in 1982. Here's Saddam speaking to the judge through a translator at his trial.
One of the negative aspects of this court is that I don't recognize the party that has appointed you or entrusted you. I don't recognize the aggression against our country because it was based on injustice and on wrongdoing.
Security is extremely tight, and there was some confusion at the courthouse earlier today. The trial was delayed for several hours. ABC's Jim Sciutto is in the courtroom.
The court doesn't seem to have made some basic preparations. One of the defendants, a 90-year-old farmer from DuJail, said he didn't know his lawyer's name. The court said it would assign one to him. It began filling out the paperwork right there in the middle of this trial.
When asked who he is, Saddam Hussein said he is the president of Iraq. Hurricane Wilma has turned into a massive storm. In a matter of hours, it went from a Category 2 to now a Category 5. Top sustained winds are at 175 miles an hour. ABC's Jim Hickey is watching the storm's progress.
The sound of Wilma's fury as it blew past the Cayman Islands heading for the Gulf of Mexico. This storm grew up very fast.
It is going through what we consider a rapid intensification.
Jennifer Praglo at the National Hurricane Center tells us it is a small but dangerous Category 5.
It's almost like a giant tornado. That's how small the system actually is.
Wilma appears to be shooting the gap between the Yucatan Peninsula and the western tip of Cuba. Forecasters predict the storm will take a sharp right turn once in the Gulf and cut east back across southern Florida. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The death toll from the Pakistan earthquake is now at close to 80,000, and late word, an earthquake at 6.2 in Tokyo a few moments ago. This is ABC News.
In heating, one thing stands alone.
That would be me, your Carrier furnace.
A Carrier Infinity furnace is the most energy efficient you can buy and can save up to 40% on energy bills versus previous models. Now that's hardworking.
Unlike your alarm clock, how hardworking could anything be with a snooze button?
Whether it's saving up to $1,100 with cool cash, our special financing, or saving on energy bills, the Infinity furnace is one hard worker. Carrier, turn to the experts. Limited time offer, restrictions apply. See participating dealer for details.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
Actor William Shatner has made a trip to the hospital, but ABC's Dave Alpert says it wasn't anything that seemed too serious.
William Shatner was taken by ambulance from the set of Boston Legal to a nearby hospital. The 74-year-old actor was complaining of lower back pain. According to a publicist for the ABC show, Shatner had finished filming for the day when the problem occurred. She said the hospital trip was precautionary and the Emmy winner was expected back on set in the morning. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Hollywood. Well, it is a crucial game on tap tonight between the Houston Astros and the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League playoffs after St. Louis took the lead in Game 1 in the ninth inning on Monday. Astros general manager Tim Purpura says he's pretty optimistic.
The feeling is that this is, you know, we're still in the lead. You know, we're up 3-2. We can win this thing.
These two teams battled in last year's NLCS as well. Alex Stone, ABC News.
With a report of WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston. This report brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. In the news, a convention displaced by Hurricane Katrina will make its way to St. Louis in June. The Red Hat Society, which was scheduled to have its annual convention at the Superdome in New Orleans, will now meet at the America Center in downtown St. Louis. Carol Moody, the president of the St. Louis Convention and Visitors Commission, says the city of St. Louis has a good relationship with the city of New Orleans.
We're certainly very friendly competitors with New Orleans. In fact, their executive vice president worked here with us a number of years ago. So we're all friendly competitors and working together to do what's best for them.
The convention is set for June 7th through June 11th, 2006. Moody says the CVC is working with six other groups displaced by Hurricane Katrina, which represent over 73,000 potential hotel room guests. Five additional groups have already selected St. Louis as their replacement host as well, bringing more than 6,000 hotel room nights to the St. Louis area. In other news, one suspect is charged and a juvenile is in custody in last week's fatal shooting of an 8-year-old boy. 25-year-old Nemus Lawrence is charged with first-degree murder, first-degree assault, and armed criminal action in the death of Craig Collins, Jr. St. Louis Police Chief Joe Mokwa says the investigation continues into the ongoing feud that led up to the shooting.
A small group of men that sell drugs in that neighborhood or who are associates with some of the men arrested were all involved in kind of strategizing some retaliation, and that there was a gun flourished prior to the shooting incident on October 12th, and we know that that's what precipitated this.
A 15-year-old boy is in juvenile custody in connection with the shooting. Police are looking for another 15-year-old suspect as well. And a two-alarm fire is being blamed for damaging a longtime floral shop in Richmond Heights. The fire broke out at a building that houses the Alex Waldbart Florist along the 7,000 block of Clayton Road early yesterday morning. Richmond Heights Fire Chief Larry Drexler says he's glad no one was injured.
There's a real big emphasis right now on firefighter safety, and we take it very serious. We have an accountability system where every 20 minutes we check with each department that was there to make sure the men are together.
The other businesses and vacant apartments in the building didn't sustain any damage in that fire. And that's a check of WGNU News brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust your local Toyota dealers that know your vehicle best for convenient service and competitive prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes, they do it all. That's moving you forward. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by AAA and Lens Crafters. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake and Timberlake Manor and 141. Look for an accident. It's been cleared to the shoulder. Traffic jams at Chesterfield Parkway West. Westbound 270 at Washington Elizabeth. There's an accident cleared, but traffic backs up approaching 367. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Gravois, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from 141 to 270, everything's on the move. Eastbound 70 from Zumbel all the way to Earth City Expressway, no problems there. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44 is stop and go this hour. Eastbound 70 at K and 79, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 64 to PSB, look for stop and go. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge, look for slow traffic. Then there's an accident on the shoulder at Greenmount Road, but expect no delays. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street on the PSB, it is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, look for everything to be flowing freely. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by AAA and LensCrafters. Show your AAA membership card at LensCrafters and save 30% on eye exams and a complete pair of glasses. LensCrafters is proud partner in the AAA Show Your Card and Saves program. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Warmer today, mostly sunny with a high around 80 this evening. Mostly cloudy, a chance for showers with a low in the mid-50s. Thursday, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers and a possible thunderstorm with a high in the lower 70s. Thursday evening, showers are likely with a low in the mid-50s. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. It's St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to the sun. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to the sun. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg, hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown, and I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm pretty good this morning. And you?
I'm outstanding. What should we say? And the lead goes on?
The lead goes on.
And the lead goes on. We've been talking off and on about lead in St. Louis public schools for about, this is our third week now.
Yes.
What's the status?
A little over a week ago, about 10 days ago, the superintendent had promised parents at Mann that lead cleanup was underway at Mann School. That was the one that the story broke about high levels of lead contamination in school. Well, the cleanup.
Well, and let's also talk about what Craig Williams said to parents that crowded into the schools that wanted to know what the district was going to do about it. What did Craig Williams tell them that the district was going to do?
He said the cleanup was underway. Mm-hmm. They'd have custodian crews cleaning the light up on the inside, and they'd hire contractors to scrape the paint on the outside of the windows and coat with a new lead block primer and then repaint. And he projected, he said the cleanup would be done in about 10 days to 2 weeks.
And this, I want to underscore this, if I may, Peter, the method that Craig Williams, who's never been a superintendent anywhere in the world, the method that he decided to undertake in the St. Louis Public Schools, despite the fact that we have a baby that is very ill as a result of lead exposure, and they found out that it was at the school, the method that he told parents that he was going to undertake to get rid of the lead is different than how the St. Louis Public Schools have dealt with the issue of lead in schools before, when they found lead in a school.
Right, about 4 years ago, they found lead in Dunbar School, and then they tested a few other schools and found lead, I think, two or three others. But they closed that school temporarily to clean it up. So they closed it, had the crews in there working day and night to clean it up, and then reopened a few days later.
What
in this case, the kids would continue going to school, and the lead cleanup would take place
at night. All the lead dust is stirred up during the night, and the kids walk into it fresh in the morning, theoretically.
That could happen, yes.
So we have a person that's never been a superintendent anywhere before made the decision to do a lead cleanup in a manner that the St. Louis Public Schools had not done before, in a manner that logically is not the safest way to treat lead for in a school with young, particularly with young children. How's that working out?
The cleanup is not happening. At least it is not happening. It is not happening, at least so far. On Friday evening last week, the custodians who were assigned to do the cleanup, they essentially stood down. They refused to do the work because they were not provided the proper safety equipment to do the work, respirators so they don't breathe in lead dust, gloves, that kind of thing. The initial response from Schern, the company that is officially their employer after subcontracting, was something like, well, you were doing this before you knew it was dangerous, so you should keep doing it.
Okay, that's fair. If Schern is going to send their relatives in to clean it up like that, then that would be fair. This, I think that the word consequence of privatization, the words consequence of privatization pop into my head when you hear stories like that. Schern has no vested interest, for real, in the health of the individuals that have been subcontracted to them to clean our schools. They don't have any vested interest in that, do they?
No. I mean, the amount of time before someone showed any effects from lead, probably at the levels dealing with here, they probably aren't going to work at Schern anymore. It'd be hard for them to prove any liability on Schern's part. But there are real health effects for lead. There are real health effects in adults. The workers there with the back of the union continue to refuse to do the work. I'm told they have an agreement now that no one has to do the work until they are trained how to do it safely and they have the proper safety equipment. And none of that has taken place yet.
Let me ask you this, Peter. 4 years ago, before Roberti, before the destruction of the St. Louis Public Schools, before Francis Slay, and now before Craig Williams, when the school district took on lead at Dunbar, mm-hmm. did the janitors do the cleaning up?
I don't know who did the cleanup then.
I find it hard to believe that the cleanup for something as technical and as specialized as lead cleanup, it's not the same thing as sweeping down a hallway or mopping down a cafeteria. One would think that something as dangerous and as such a specialized health problem and health concern would require people that have specific training in the abatement of lead. That's just what appears to me to be a logical thing.
You are supposed to have specific training. in the abatement of lead for lead cleanup. Whether or not people were trained then, I don't know, but we do know that there were, 100 plus or minus custodians eliminated under Roberti. And one of the things that, we've talked about as being typical of outsourcing, kind of going on with the private companies, is a high turnover of employees. And one of the advantages before to the school district having the employees all in-house.
And a pool of employees.
And having a policy in there of trying to keep people around, trying to have a stable base of employees, is that once you do the training, they're there, they're trained. You know, and
so if you could have taken the...
We know the lead is going to rise again and again in St. Louis schools, given the age of these schools.
Mm-hmm. And so we could have, if the custodians 4 years ago were the people that were... If the custodians 4 years ago were trained, did the cleanup in Dunbar, what I'm hearing you say is that we would have had a pool of trained custodians that we could have taken to another school that had the lead issue and used them to clean this up. As far as you know, have the custodians that are being asked to and have now and are now standing down on this cleanup, have they received any kind of training on lead abatement?
As far as I know, no.
So in the mind of Craig Williams, a guy who's never been a superintendent anywhere else on the face of the earth, and now is this the city of St. Louis is sitting in the seat of the superintendent, in the mind of Craig Williams, apparently it makes sense to just put anybody in there to, any human body in there to sweep the floor and to paint it down? Because it seems to me if you wanted to do it right, that you would know, you would understand, you would have somebody around you, some one of your $100,000 plus employees around you that would say, Craig, you know, this isn't just pushing a broom down the hall and sweeping. This is a specialized type of cleaning. Let's get the experts in here to do this. Do we know that that's
true? Well, you know, I don't think I should try and get in the mind of Craig Williams. I don't know.
I wouldn't want to get into the mind. I'm just asking a question. Yeah.
But I think that as superintendent, I wouldn't expect him to understand all the details, but like I said, there should be someone on his staff who does.
At $300,000 a year, he should want to find somebody that does.
Yes.
And should be able to find somebody
that
does.
With the outsourcing, they're really relying on Sodexo to give them this advice. It is clear that Sodexo and Shearn had no, you know, at least initially, had no concern about the health of the employees.
Why would they? Why would this issue be of concern to Sodexo on any level? Why would Sodexo care about a lead in the school? Because they still have their multimillion-dollar contract. Why should Sodexo care about training people properly to get rid of lead in elementary schools? They still have their contract. Why would Sodexo care take time out of their schedule to train anybody to remove lead in the St. Louis public schools when that will cut into their bottom line? There is no vested interest. There is no vested reason. There is nothing in it for Sodexo, a multi-billion-dollar, million-dollar company out here that's in it for the bottom line.
Well, I can see one way in which there would be something in it for Sodexo, and that is if the people overseeing them in St. Louis Public Schools made it a requirement. And basically said...
Okay, let's laugh that off.
Well, let's laugh that off.
Okay.
But, you know, if they were doing their job right in St. Louis Public Schools, and you still had this work outsourced to Sodexo, they would still require them to do it properly as a condition of keeping their contract.
But that ain't happening.
That's right. That's not happening. And the background of...
Sodexo is a horrible company. Just think about a company that has shown no leadership, no curiosity, no interest in cleaning an elementary, training people to clean an elementary school where children have been found to have lead in them properly. How do you not, or concern for those that are cleaning the school? How do you not have equipment for people to clean a school with lead? How do you do that?
I don't know, but every step of this we've seen, every advance has come from people standing up and protesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was people raising a ruckus over lead in the school that led to this public response, we're going to clean it, renew these contracts, than it was the employees standing up and saying, hey, we aren't doing it unless we have the proper safety equipment, that led to the company saying, all right, you don't have to do it until you have the proper safety equipment and you're trained to do it. There's
But I'm worried about
the trend always from the management, both of Sodexo, Sodexo Schern, and the public schools has been, let's get away with what we can get away with.
And I am concerned because I'm hearing rumors out here that Sodexo is trying to put a school board candidate. They're trying to get a candidate on the school board. And Lord knows what's going to happen if they get a candidate. A candidate for a Sodexo-driven candidate is going to be a candidate that supports the policies of Sodexo. That's what Sodexo does. So the other piece of the well, let me get to a card phone here. Let me get to another question or two. Jean, you have a question.
Hello. There's two questions. One is for your guest. You said there are health concerns in adults that occur as a result of exposure to lead. Can you mention one or two of them?
There's the lead damages the nervous system of anyone, children or adults. The nervous system is developing in children, so it's more hazardous for children. But in adults as well, it can damage the nervous system, which affects memory. It affects coordination, and you know, the nervous system does not regenerate itself.
Okay. The other concern is the I'm not taking up with Sodexo or Craig Williams, but the school board has had a long history of, for example, when they remodeled those schools and put in new windows, when they remodeled schools, there were walls torn out, dust coming down the hall. You couldn't see down the hall. And they did not have a concern for employees at all, or children. Children were in those buildings when they remodeled, Simmons being one of them. They tore out that whole third floor, and the dust was all over the place.
And
they have had disregard for years, and the employees were not aware of all of the lead concerns. And so people continued to work in those buildings while that was going on. But the school system has had a disregard for the children and the staff for a long time.
Caller Jean, I agree with you that certainly the history of workers' rights would bear out the understanding that management does not, as a rule, have the interest of employees first and foremost. The issue here, though, Jean, from my perspective, is that it's kind of like seeing a 18-year-old person smoking today. We know way too much for you to be 18 years old and to be smoking in today's society. We know way too much in the year two. Craig Williams doesn't have the cover that any prior person in the superintendency's has. We know too much. The evidence is inescapable. It's been brought to your face, and yet and still nothing is being done about it.
Right. Appreciate you bringing out the information. I really appreciate it. But I just wanted you to know that the system has had a long history of it.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Children and in those buildings.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Jean.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. And as she said, particularly on lead, you know, the school board, the school system has been very negligent on dealing with lead and on protecting the safety of students and workers in the buildings. We've talked on this show previously about the failure to clean up lead dust in installing the air conditioning system in schools. Last year in the summer, I know you talked about lead dust being spread around in the work done at the old Southwest High School to make it ready for Central.
And asbestos.
And Central and Bunch, and nothing being done to clean that up.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that. What's different about this incident is for the first time we actually have, the public actually has in its hands, report from the city doing testing at the site showing the high levels of lead.
The evidence is there. The evidence is there.
We've never been able to have that before.
You know,
whatever reason, the city had tested the school, and that test got out in the public.
My concern, Peter, is PR and the effect of PR. When a person like Craig Williams, again, who's never been a superintendent anywhere in the world before this job, when you have someone like Craig Williams that engages in the type of legacy or the type of management style where we go out and we represent to people that we do things, because that's what PR does. You go and put a positive spin,
yeah.
And you go out and you are a cheerleader, and you get the folks, kind of like preaching at church, you get the folks to buy into your enthusiasm. I can't believe that this is wrong. We're going to do something about it, and you have my word that we're going to do something. And even in the article that you wrote in the School Watch, parents were saying, well, at least somebody is finally doing this.
That's right.
I'm glad that he's stepping up to the plate. It's the impact and the effect of PR on people, that this is what we're going to do and I'm going to do something about it. The problem with PR is that some parents, now that they have had an opportunity to see Craig Williams in his face, and he told them he was going to do that, and they believed him, are still sitting at home believing that this district is busy about doing the right thing. That's the one of the downsides to fake PR like this.
Mm-hmm.
What do we know about what parents know about the status of the lead cleaning at the school now that the janitors have stood down? What do they know? Have the parents been told this? Or are the parents under the impression that the lead problem has been taken care of because of the PR campaign?
I think parents are... I don't know for sure. I haven't gone back. I haven't tracked down any parents, found out for sure. I would bet most are under the impression that the cleanup is going on or has been completed.
Or been done.
That's right. I know, Channel 5 News broadcast a story about the janitor standing down.
Mm-hmm.
But, other than St. Louis Schools Watch and Channel 5 News, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, a lot of parents, even hearing that Friday, probably believe, okay, well, that problem's been taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
We can take that problem off the plate. And did you see, then, people can ask their children if they saw people, the evidence of stuff being done in the school, and the kids could say yes, and the parents could think that it is done, but it is not done at all. In fact, I would argue that in some respect it's worse, because since the janitors or the custodians went in there and stirred stuff up, there's dust in the air that wasn't there, and they haven't finished it off. So I would argue that there's a possibility that there's more lead exposed now because we're in the middle of a cleanup that hasn't finished.
Well, and the other possibility there that could make it worse is they're scraping the lead paint off the outside, creating more dust.
Mm-hmm.
On the outside of the windows. They install plastic on the inside, but anybody who's ever installed plastic just for weather and stuff knows that holes occur, little bits pull away. And if that is happening, then you're sending a lot more lead dust inside that's not being cleaned up right now.
We have to take a break. I'm here with Peter Downs. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We'll be back to take some of your calls at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with us.
From McLean School, second grade room 209. Thank you, Ms. Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurey, and Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our awards day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity Reign Supreme.
Love you. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 270 to Illinois 203 and West Florida stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit. There's maintenance operations at Wright Lane and the ramp are closed. You can use 11th Street to get around that area. Northbound 55 between Weber Road and 44. No problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to 270. Everything is on the move. Eastbound 70 between Mid River Mall and Blanchett Bridge. Look for no problems there. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Timberlake Manor. Look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Northbound 270 at 44 and 55. Look for slow traffic going on there. Eastbound 70 between K and 79. You've got slow traffic eastbound 40 from Ballast to Hanley. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 5570 from Exchange onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic, stop and go, actually, due to a minor accident that's on the shoulder just before 3rd Street. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue to 5570. Look for slow traffic. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before the landing. Everything is looking good. Jungerman at 94. There's an injury accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. McDonald's is celebrating the Cardinals postseason play by bringing back the McDonald's sandwich for just a dollar every day the Cardinals play. Limit two per customer. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Warmer, mostly sunny today. High around 80 this evening. Mostly cloudy with a chance for showers. Low should be in the mid-50s. Thursday, mostly cloudy. Once again, another chance for showers, even thunderstorms. The high in the lower 70s. Thursday evening, showers are likely with a low in the mid-50s. And Friday, mostly cloudy still. Another chance for rain with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You're looking to get into real estate. Where do you go? What do you do? Call Lisa at 314-629-7830. Properties available from $50,000 to $200,000. Available with no money down. Take your choice of area, St. Louis City, St. Louis County, or St. Charles County. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Get into the game. Make the first move. Call Lisa Krempaski, 629-7830. That's Lisa Krempaski, 314-629-7830.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920, WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Kaylin Dixon. Call you from the Clee School, second grade room, 209. I'm calling you to thank you for coming to our school and spending time with our class. School is almost out. This summer, I'm going to spend the summer with my family. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the pretty African necklace you gave me. I just love it. Yesterday, I received an achievement trophy at our Awards Day program. Have a wonderful summer. This is Kaylin Dixon for Room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Peter.
Yes.
Let's try getting to some of these calls here, and then let's put another lead scare in folks out there. Let's bring some more lead concerns that parents need to have. Donna.
Yes, good morning.
Welcome.
I wanted to make a comment about the lead. I just wanted to say I do lead education every day. And in order for them to do a good job on cleaning up those classrooms, they have to HEPA-vac wash, HEPA-vac. And they have to put plastic on all the furniture. They have to, for every story of the building, just say the first story, 6 feet out, 6 feet out for every story. They have to make sure that they HEPA-vac wash every surface in that room and seal off the doors and the windows in order to do a good job so that the kids won't become poisoned. And any structure built before 1978, there's a high probability that it does contain lead because lead is saturated in the wood, and once it's painted with lead paint, it's there for the life of the wood until you remove that wood. So the hazard is always there unless it becomes abated and you remove that piece of wood and replace it with a new window or something of that nature.
This isn't just mopping the floor.
No, that's called an interim procedure, just a temporary fix.
And how concerned should parents be, or should individuals
be? Wait a minute, let me
finish the question.
Okay.
How concerned should parents or individuals be if a lead cleanup was started and then stopped in the middle of?
Well, that leaves a lot of exposure there, mm-hmm. and they really should be very concerned. And they should actually, you know, take matters into their own hand and go up and investigate. Whenever I talk to people, I say, you should become proactive. You should get out there and make sure things are going right. You know, just because the training that they need, I talked to one of the janitors, the one that was talking on Friday, and they actually need the training. It's $500, well, probably $600 that they have to have a state license from the state of Missouri as a lead abatement worker.
Mm.
And they need that. They really do. And it's for their safety as well as the public safety that they have that training, because lead stays in the bone marrow for 30 years.
Wow.
And when you become sick or your body becomes low on iron, calcium, or vitamin C, it comes right back out into the bloodstream, and it damages all the soft tissue organs.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks,
thank you,
Donna. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I don't want to leave the impression, Peter, that the custodians have won the battle or won the war because they have managed to not have to go and clean the rooms until they get the training. Sodexo's already handling this. They're firing folks, aren't they?
Sodexo's firing folks, yes. There was a memo sent out to principals by William Gibbons, the general manager of custodians for Sodexo. It went out Monday, start of this week, in which he said that a number of custodians, he didn't say how many, but said a number of custodians would be fired, and had a laundry list of reasons for which people could be fired.
Well, whatever. The fact of the
but
matter is
a number of custodians are going to be fired. I talked to Ted Kaiser, the director of the public sector division of the SEIU Local 2000, yesterday. And he said they did have three custodians fired yesterday. He couldn't discuss the reasons they were fired, but there were three custodians fired yesterday. There are another 20 custodians who were caught by, who failed the drug test. Under this privatization agreement, Shearn can do really random drug tests without notice. So those 20 custodians are in a process that could lead to their being fired. He was unaware of the memo, since the list of reasons given by William Gibbons was much broader than just drug tests. It suggests that a lot more custodians are going to be fired than
irrespective of any drug test.
That's right.
We're going to take a couple more calls here. Carfo.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I know you guys are talking about the problem with the lead, but is there a problem also with asbestos in the schools?
Asbestos?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Is that your question, caller?
Yes, ma'am. Because I know as soon as the schools went up on market, the ones that they were selling, they were saying that those schools had a lot of asbestos in it. And I wonder how that affects the kids, or is there even a danger with that being there, even if they're in the schools that are currently open.
Thanks for your call and question.
Thank you.
There is asbestos in many of these schools. So all these older schools will have asbestos in them. The thing that is generally said about asbestos, I'm not an expert, but you hear a lot of people talk about it, and you talk to people in the building fields, is that it's usually behind a wall or behind the ceiling, because it's used as an insulation. And as long as it is not disturbed, as long as you don't break into the wall or break into the ceiling, it's kept behind there and it's not a problem. When you start breaking into it, for example, to put in the HVAC system, then you're spreading the asbestos dust, the asbestos particles around, and you have to follow proper safety procedures and proper cleanup procedures before the building is reoccupied.
Mary, you have a question or call?
Yes, I would like, good morning to you and Peter Down. I am a former retiree from the public school, and we did have, with the school where I was in South St. Louis, they did have asbestos because we had equipment. And I feel that the city should, over that man's school should be closed, and they should be doing something about that lead. And I don't feel that the janitor, they should get the city health department to come in and examine all them schools for asbestos causes cancer, and the lead causes the mental efficiency. Those schools should be examined by outside, whatever. The city health department, they examine these stores when they go in there for, you know, for the, in the health department. They should be over there, and I don't feel that the doctor should be in there doing that.
Thank
they should
you.
Have the city supposed to be doing. What is Mayor Soleil doing? Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. And the caller raises a valid point in terms of what people, how could you send anybody in there to be cleaning these buildings without any training or any kind of equipment?
That's right. That's right. I want to address, just raise the point of the city, and it was brought out at a previous show that the mayor had moved the lead testing out of the health department. Health department doesn't do that anymore.
Which is crazy.
He moved it into the building division.
Which is crazy.
Which is concerned with issuing permits for construction and work. Which really de-emphasizes the importance. It's not as important.
And it's a conflict. Because if somebody wants to open up a building and there's a lead problem, they're not going to be stopped by a lead problem if the building department doesn't bother to investigate it. They have no vested.
Right.
The building department has no vested interest nor expertise in lead containment or lead abatement.
Yeah, I agree. It really sets up a conflict of interest within the organization now that's supposed to be doing the testing.
And does any city in America have lead testing and lead treatment and lead concern in the building department as opposed to the health department of a major metropolitan city? I would be surprised.
Yeah. And just one other note on that, because they had the head of the department doing the lead testing at Mann School at the meeting that Craig Williams set up, and she said that the city has been testing and monitoring lead levels in the schools. Well, Craig Williams came out and said we had 47 contaminated schools. The city, which says they've been monitoring this, never made that announcement to parents, haven't contacted parents saying this is a problem. So there's
Jesus.
Even if they have been monitoring, again, that conflict of interest has come up.
And then let's not forget about the greater conflict of interest. We have a guy sitting in the mayor's office that is saying that he's in charge of the schools and he understands the value of bad press. Why would he ever say that this? And he's never had his kids in public schools and none of his friends' kids are going to public schools. In fact, he has an interest in vouchers and charter schools and getting rid of the public school all in its entirety. What would be in his interest of coming out and being concerned about or articulating a concern about lead in public schools? That's not good PR for him.
No, it's not.
And before we go, I want to just throw another concern out there for parents. Peter, you gave me this the press release that came out about school lunch boxes.
Yes. I was clued to this by the medical director of the Cardinal Glennon's Regional Poisoning Center. It's just, I mean, discovered that this fall, I think the press release is dated, August 31st?
August 31st.
From the Center for Environmental Health. They did testing on these soft-sided vinyl lunch boxes that kids use, and they give a whole list there.
And here's the thing. The lunch boxes we're talking about lunch boxes coming from Toys R Us, Warner Brothers, DC Comics, Time Warner, Walgreens, and involve many other ones. If your baby has a lunch box with the character of Superman, Tweety Bird, Powerpuff Girls, and Hamataro, and also these are the soft-sided vinyl lunch boxes that your babies have their lunches in. One lunchbox, Anna Anaconda,
made by Targus International, tested at 56,000 parts of lead, more than 90 times the 600 parts of that's the legal limit for lead in children's products. So the lunchboxes that your babies have, have lead in them, and these soft-sided lunch boxes. Now, if you want to, the specific lunch boxes, I don't have a phone number for you, but I do have a website for you, and let me give the website out if you want to go check the photographs of the lunch boxes of concern. www.cehca.org/lunchboxes.htm. That's www.cehca.org/lunchboxes.htm. We're going to take a break. Lawsuits have been filed, but parents need to have a heads up. My name is Liz Brown. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We'll be back.
I'm calling you from LaCree School, second grade, from 209, Miss Liz. I had a good time with you. Miss Liz, our class is watching Roots. Kuta Kinte knows his roots. His mother name is Dita, and his father name is Amaru. Kinte has dignity. Have a good summer. This is Amir Muhammad from room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. Trial proceedings in the case against Saddam Hussein have been adjourned until November 28th. Security had been tight around the courtroom where Saddam's trial for crimes against humanity got underway today. According to one of the judges appointed to hear the case, not everyone involved in the case was comfortable enough to show up for the proceedings. Again, the trial of Saddam Hussein has been adjourned until November 28th. Dateline Baghdad, a high-ranking British military officer who helped investigate allegations of civilian abuse by the military, has turned up dead. The body of Captain Ken Masters, commander of 61 section of the Special Investigative Branch, was found dead in his bed at the airport in Basra this past weekend. The military says death was not caused by hostile action nor by natural causes. He was not being treated medically nor psychologically. Masters was in charge of investigating all serious incidents involving the British military in Iraq, which has several dozen cases pending. And Dateline Washington. New York Times reporter Judith Miller, who spent nearly 2 months in jail for refusing to talk to a special prosecutor in the Valerie Plame outing case, says members of the Bush administration were terrified by a dissident faction inside the CIA that was working behind the back of the director of that agency to show that Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction. According to Miller's account, Lewis Scooter Libby, the chief of staff for Vice President Dick Cheney, became upset with Valerie Plame's husband, Joseph Wilson, after he wrote a newspaper article accusing the administration of exaggerating the threat posed by Iraq in order to justify starting the war. She goes on to say the CIA took it upon itself to find out more about the Niger uranium cake allegations without talking to the White House or its own director. Libby became concerned the CIA was getting out of control, and then selective leaking of information was done by the administration to make their point. This is your wake-up call global news update.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
No prescription drug coverage? Now there's help. Introducing the Merck Prescription Discount Program. You may be eligible for discounts of 15 to 40% on Merck drugs regardless of age or income. Call 1-800-50-MERCK to enroll. It's free to join and there are no membership costs. The new Merck Prescription Discount Program. It's one more way Merck puts patients first. Call 1-800-50-MERCK.
We serve 12 different kinds of salsa here.
This chef is dishing out the most adventurous Mexican cuisine in town. But marketing her restaurant on the web, it's all Greek to her. So she asked Network Solutions how to serve up more customers using online marketing. Now, her restaurant is hotter than jalapenos.
My salsa verde is a little...
spicy.
To heat things up for your business, visit NetworkSolutions.com today and go farther.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Casey Marshall calling you from Laclede School, room 209. Miss Liz, I love the African necklace. I wore it to Red Lobster. I wish I could go with you to Ghana. Miss Liz, you are the best and one of a kind. Miss Liz, this is Casey Marshall from room 209, where dignity reigns supreme.
Hey, baby.
Have a great summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, let's do a bit of a follow-up on our story about applied scholastics.
All right.
Apparently, we don't have to be doing what we're doing in the St. Louis Public Schools and letting Applied Scholastic or any other company come into our school district or our state.
No. I guess you got to let them come in, but they have to meet. But you can regulate them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The U.S. Department of Education issued new guidelines to states and districts just this past summer. And the guidelines really came out of a conflict with Chicago and the state of Illinois. Last year, Chicago kicked a big provider of tutoring services out of the district and began doing the tutoring itself. U.S. Department of Education first said...
And they did it because it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They said the quality was very low. U.S. Department of Education first said, you can't do that. You can't use federal funds. What you're doing is illegal. The state of Illinois backed Chicago, gave them state funds to pay for the tutoring, was considering, and that's set to pass in June, proposals for tightening regulations of the tutoring's services, make sure that they're effective and they can demonstrate their effectiveness, that their tutoring is related to what the school districts are doing, and that what they're charging reflects their actual costs. So aren't making huge profits off of it.
Not the money that the government has to pay.
That's right. The Department of Education, faced with a whole state essentially pulling out of No Child Left Behind and possibly suing to overturn the law, the U.S. Department of Education caved in and issued new guidelines this summer saying states can do everything that Illinois was doing. And so states can require that anybody wants to tutor that they demonstrate that they have a history of effectiveness in increasing student achievement.
A state or a district could do that, right?
Well, no, there are different things that states and districts to do. All right. Let's go directly to a district. The district can require that the tutoring has to reflect the actual curriculum that the district uses.
All right.
They can require that the tutoring service use. They can specify the tests that the tutoring service uses to mark student improvement. They can require a timetable for actually improving student performance. And if the tutor tutoring system doesn't meet all these, they can be fired. Their contract can be terminated.
Okay. So that's what the district can do.
That's what the district can do.
Okay. And in terms of what Chicago did, they said, you know what, no, we don't want this. They're not doing right. We're not going to – it wasn't even their money that was being spent, was it? It's the federal money. And
right.
They said, our children come first. We're not going to let our children who need to be tutored in a program that doesn't work for them.
That's right. And in fact, right now – the U.S. Department of Education has okayed Chicago providing all the tutoring itself. They're calling it a pilot program. But essentially, they're recognizing what Chicago was already going to do. Chicago said, because the way the tutoring system was set up initially, it was states and districts couldn't regulate anything.
And just so I want people to know how far out of hand these programs have gotten. You were telling me off the air about DVDs?
Clark County, Nevada, tutoring companies were competing for kids. They went door-to-door to sign them up and offered a free TiVo to any kid who signed up for tutoring services.
So that's how good the money is. They were giving out families. If the kids or the families would sign up with their tutoring program, they would get a free TiVo.
Yeah.
That's how good the money is.
That's how much profit was in them for.
And that just like the problem with outsourcing, the problem with privatization, India came into this as well.
Yeah, several companies do tutoring online. They set up their tutoring centers in India, paying $1 an hour to have Indians tutor American kids over the internet and charging school districts $40, $50, $60 an hour for it.
The money is good. There's a reason why Illinois did what Illinois did, because the kids aren't learning and the government is getting ripped off.
Yeah, Illinois is nationally considered a leader in regulating the tutoring to make sure they're getting what they're supposed to get.
We need to talk about Edison, but it's not going to be this week. How about next week? Peter, thank you so much.
All right, next week.
Next week. Any dates that we need to be paying attention to?
Not this week.
Not this week. Okay, next week I'll see you. Thank you so much, Peter Downs. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back next hour. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Alex Stone. Saddam Hussein has pleaded not guilty to charges of murder and torture at his trial in Baghdad. Court has been adjourned until November 28th, but not before plenty of fireworks. ABC's Jim Sciutto was in the courtroom.
For most of the trial, he was defiant, refusing more than 10 times simply to identify himself and going into a long rant where he claimed still to be the president of Iraq. But during a recess, we saw him relax, smiling with the other defendants, joking, and some of the old bravado as well. When guards tried to escort him by his elbows from the courtroom, he refused to be touched.
Hussein's half-brother was in court. He leaned over and gave the former leader a kiss on the cheek. Hurricane Wilma is now a massive storm, a Category 5, the strongest on record ever in the Atlantic. Jennifer Pralgo at the National Hurricane Center in Miami says it's a good idea for people in Florida to start stocking up on supplies.
We do expect it to impact someplace in the Florida Peninsula, and we ask people in the Florida Keys and the Florida Peninsula to closely monitor the progress of Hurricane Wilma.
Wilma is between Honduras and Cuba right now. Southern Florida is in the crosshairs. High-profile California defense attorney Daniel Horowitz is speaking out about the murder of his wife, beaten to death in their California home. ABC's Neil Karlinski reports from the Contra Costa County Sheriff's Department in California.
Daniel Horowitz tells ABC News he remains worried for his safety and for the safety of his family. We've had a chance to speak with him on a couple of occasions now. He says he wants to finish the couple's dream home now, only so he can sell it and never look at it again.
Well, you can call it Powerball Madness. The jackpot is almost $340 million for Powerball tonight, the second biggest in U.S. history. The executive director of the Pennsylvania Lottery says lines are long at many stores as people line up to try to get tickets for the game tonight. Some businesses even having to bring in extra employees. This is ABC News.
Honey, this is great sushi. Where'd you get it?
Oh, I made it myself.
Really?
Yeah, I'm full of surprises.
Where'd you get the fish?
Caught them myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, down at the creek.
The creek?
Yeah, the one by the treatment plant.
United Healthcare knows that people don't always use common sense. Fortunately, we bring common sense to healthcare, like offering affordable health benefit solutions, quality and cost comparison tools, and live and online chats with medical experts. United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
Are you one of the millions of seniors trying to decide which Medicare Part D prescription drug plan is right for you? Help is as close as your nearby Save-On or Osco pharmacy. We can set up an appointment with you to help answer your questions about this new plan. You'll find free brochures to better understand your options. Plus, bring in a list of the medications you're taking, and we'll provide you with a list of drug plan options that cover those medications. The help you need is as close as your Save-On and Osco pharmacies. Stop by today.
A weekend dam continues to threaten people living in Taunton, Massachusetts. Schools are closed for a second day, and thousands of residents are evacuated. ABC's Ron Claiborne has been watching the situation.
Overnight was stable, according to city officials. However, the water behind the dam has receded slightly. They say the water level is down about 3 inches, but the mayor of Taunton cautioned that there are still significant amounts of water behind that dam, putting pressure on that 100-plus-year-old structure. The mayor says it is a significant cause of concern, but he added, we are winning.
The NBA says its players will now have uniforms off the court as well as on. The league is insisting players adhere to a dress code off the job. Allen Iverson from the Philadelphia 76ers says, man, he doesn't like that plan.
I mean, honestly, I'm 30 years old. I should be able to wear what I want to wear.
The dress code will be a pair of slacks or jeans and a shirt with a collar. Alex Stone, ABC News.
I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News. This report brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Taking a look at our news this hour, two suspects are in custody and police are looking for a third in last week's fatal shooting of an 8-year-old boy. 25-year-old Nemus Lawrence is charged with first-degree murder, first-degree assault, and armed criminal action in the death of Craig Collins, Jr. A 15-year-old boy is in juvenile custody in connection with the shooting, and police are still looking for another 15-year-old suspect. The investigation continues into the ongoing feud that led up to that murder. In other news, investigators are looking into a suspicious death in North St. Louis. A man returned to his home on Mimica shortly after 6 last night and found a dead woman hanging out of a window. Police think the woman may have been trying to break into the man's home. An autopsy will be conducted on the woman, who was found naked from the waist down. In Tennessee, police in Harriman, Tennessee, are continuing to investigate the shooting death of Rams player Leonard Little's younger brother. Harriman Police Detective Chris Minot says 24-year-old Jermaine Little died Monday night from a gunshot wound. Minot would not comment on a motive in the shooting, but said Little was at a friend's house when an altercation broke out. A person of interest is in custody, but charges have not yet been filed. Interim's Rams head coach Joe Vitt says Leonard Little was told of his brother's death after Monday night's game, and Little left St. Louis yesterday to be with his family. And in Arnold, 5 people were injured after a rush hour crash yesterday on Interstate 55. A van went off the right side of the highway and overturned around 5 in the afternoon on I-55 near Richardson Road. A seriously injured passenger was airlifted to a St. Louis hospital. 4 others, including the driver, were taken to the hospital with less serious injuries. Authorities believe a blown tire was to blame for that crash. And that's a check of WGNU News, brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play. Play big. Play small. Play when you need a smile. Play because you deserve it. No matter how you play, play the Illinois Lottery. Have a ball and play responsibly. I'm Peyton Colston with a check of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6-7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 270 between Illinois Route 3 and the Canal Bridge is an accident at the left shoulder and traffic jams all the way at 111. Northbound 55 between River De Bear and 44. No problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge is slow. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to Blanchette. Look for everything to be on the move. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason. You've got slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Tucson Ferry to 44. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Hanley. You've got stop-and-go traffic as well as westbound 270 from Lilac to Florissant. West Florissant, that is. There's slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 split from Exchange all the way onto the PSB. It is stop and go this hour. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue to the 5570 merge. Look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing. Very heavy volume going on this hour. Route K at N, look for an injury accident, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust your local Toyota dealer that knows your vehicle best for convenient service and competitive prices, oil changes, tires, batteries, and brakes. They do it all. That's moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. For today, mostly sunny, warmer, with a high around 80. This evening, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers, low in the mid-50s. Thursday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, even a thunderstorm, with a high in the lower 70s. Thursday evening, showers are likely, with a low in the mid-50s. And then on Friday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 64 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 64 as well, both under sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The wake-up call blanket drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive T-shirt as a thank you.
Hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a measurement back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. Zenobia, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Let me take this other phone off the hook because I can't hear you real good. First of all, I want to say hello to you and hello to the St. Louis listeners. It's been a little while since we've been back really tight in the struggle, and I wanted to say that I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and your listening audience this morning about an upcoming event and invite them to support the upcoming Working Class Media and Democracy Forum.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to take place October the 21st, which is Friday, at 7 p.m. at 1001 Park in St. Louis. And I wanted to, if it's okay with you, to talk about some of the speakers that are going to be there.
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, we are so thrilled and happy to have, you know, Liz Brown with WGNU, who has had a few years' track record of being on the side of justice and economic justice and education in our community. And then we'll have also a Joe Whelan, who is the managing editor of People's Public Political Affairs. And then we'll also have from St. Louis, Johnston Lancaster. And now everybody knows Johnston Lancaster. He's been with the Argus for many, many years that I recall, and writing about the struggle on the side of the people. And then we have as moderator State Representative Jeanette Mox-Oxley, who is the state representative that has been fighting for health care. I mean, she's been waging one heck of a battle. And so we want folks to know that we're very proud to have her. And I want to just also add that the forum is sponsored by the Missouri, Kansas Friends of the People's Weekly World, and it's co-sponsored by the American Friends Service Committee and Jobs with Justice and Emmanuel Lutheran Church. So we really look forward to this forum, invite folks out to support the People's Weekly World.
And that's this Friday at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
At what is the address again?
Okay, 1001 Park Street.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
And I look forward to kind of touching bases with you before that.
Very good, Zenobia.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And everybody have a good day.
All right, take care. 454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to talk about an issue that is percolating through the United States Congress and what the United States Senate is going to do about it, because we talked about this energy bill last week, what the House did with it. So we want an update on what the Senate is going to do with it. And before we get to that, I just want you to know that, because sometimes it gets difficult out here in the struggle. Sometimes it gets challenging out here in the struggle. We think that even though we're doing the right thing, that it doesn't always land where it should land, or we think that it's not having any kind of impact. I just want to give you a heads up and a congratulations. I received an email yesterday, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had a guest on from Food for the World. And we had the executive director on talking about a bill that was in the Senate Agriculture Committee. A bill that was set to be voted on by our United States senators in the Agriculture Committee. Part of that bill would have eliminated food stamps for working women with children. Food stamps allows you $80 a month. Was going to be eliminated to pay for tax subsidies for multi-billion dollar farm corporations. We had the executive director of Food for the World on, Bread for the World on, the day before the vote. On the show, I asked you, implored you to call Senator Jim Talent. Senator Jim Talent, who is up for re-election in probably one of the most hotly contested and most watched senatorial races coming up in 2005, said, call this man. gave out his number, call this man. How can you dare cut food stamps after what we saw with Katrina? How cold would your heart have to be to cut food stamps after we've seen that there are the poor, the condition of the poor in this country? You called. I'm so proud of you. I don't know what to do. You called and you called and you called because Jim Talent had been one of those senators that had always been in support of cutting food stamps. He said it was a bloated program, $80 a month for food, bloated program. The next day for the vote, because people had issues with the what was the bill, they shelved it for a moment. They put it on the shelf for the moment. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the markup bill, the changes, it was shelved for reasons that had nothing to do with food stamps. But we were told that Senator Talent was now talking the don't cut food stamps out of this bill talk. Well, a markup bill has been handed down. They've changed the bill and they're now going to vote on it. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, of the wake-up call? There is no provision in that bill any longer about cutting food stamps. It's not even in the bill anymore. And the person that cut it out is Chairman Chablis. He had always been in support of cutting food stamps, but it's not in the bill this time. It has been taken out. And word on the hill is this, that one of the strongest advocates about not or making sure that we didn't cut food stamps was looky-looky. Jim Talent. Why? Word on the hill is he got so many calls after the show and that influenced him. It makes a difference, y'all. Y'all did that. All of your phone calls out there did that. You made a difference. So it makes a difference if you plug yourself into these issues. It makes a difference. I'm so proud of y'all. I know what to do. Keep up the good work. The fight is not over. We've got more to do. Which brings us to our issue this morning. We brought you information about the House Bill H.R. 398 that every single it's almost surreal. Every single Democrat voted against this bill in the House, and 13 Republicans voted against it as well. It has now gone to the Senate, and we need to talk about it because apparently the Senate may be parting ways with this bill that every single Democrat voted against. We need to talk about that and what you can do to influence that and to participate in that. Jim Cox, the Legislative Counsel with Earth Justice, is joining us from Washington, D.C. to talk about this. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Very good. Talk to us about this bill. What is the bill that has gone from Congress to the Senate now, this energy bill?
Actually, there are two bills. Okay. The bill in the House, as you said, was H.R. House Resolution 3893, and it was introduced by Congressman Barton of Texas. And what it is a whole bunch of subsidies and other benefits to the refining industry that
corporate
corporate
welfare.
Exactly. And they're using the excuse of the hurricanes down in the Gulf as an excuse to give hard-earned tax money to refineries, and you know, and these oil companies, as you know, are so cash rich right now that they don't know what to do with all the money they got.
And that's what they said to their board members. Those are the words that come out their mouth to their board members. We don't know what we're going to do with all this money.
That's right. And at the same time, as they're trying to push through those subsidies, they're trying to roll back clean air and other environmental safeguards that people rely on to help keep the air clean. You know, a lot of cities, and including certainly this one, and I'm sure yours too, have bad problems with smog, and this bill and the Senate bill as well, which is a little different, but both of them would make it harder for cities to keep their air clean of smog. And one way both bills do that is by reducing the number of specialty fuels that are available to cities and states that they can use to keep the air clean. And the refiners want this because it would reduce the number of different fuels that they have to produce and make it easy for them to just produce, you know, a few kinds of fuels. The Senate bill is not quite as bad as the House bill. But what we're afraid would happen is if the Senate bill passes, they what happens is they would go into a conference with the members of the House, and we're afraid that all the real bad things in the House bill would get stuck back in, and then and when they came out of conference, then you'd have the same bad bill that, that just barely squeaked by the House of Representatives.
Well, the Senate has an option of not moving on this at all, don't they?
Well, it has to. They had a hearing on this yesterday.
So I guess they are moving on it.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be voted on in committee next week. Now, that, as I say, there are two different bills. The one in the Senate was introduced by Senator Inhofe of
Hawaii.
Inhofe is from Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Okay.
Yeah, you're thinking of anyway.
Yes, I am.
And they're similar names. I think there's one letter difference. But yeah, Senator Inhofe is from Oklahoma, and he. He understands that it's going to be harder for him to get a bill that had all those bad clean air rollbacks through his committee. So he left some of them out. But as I say, we're afraid they'll get stuck back in later. It still tries to reduce the number of fuels available to the cities, and it also like fast tracks the permitting process and still grants huge subsidies to the oil industry, which they don't need. But he understands that with Senator Chafee, who's a Rhode Island Republican who does care about environmental issues, and the rest of the Democrats who generally are very concerned about the environment, that it would be very hard to get a bill as bad as the House's bill through his committee. So that's why he's taking a little bit of a more cautious approach. But I mean, Senator Obama yesterday. Sounded like he was still open to considering this bill. So I would certainly urge your listeners in Illinois to weigh in with him and tell him that this would be a horrible bill for the environment, and it's just silly right now to be subsidizing the richest industry in our country.
Absolutely. So Obama is on the fence on this.
His statement in the committee yesterday was he doesn't see he's looking at only the Senate bill now, and he said he doesn't see much objectionable in the legislation, but that he would like to see evidence showing that that the refiners are having trouble getting permits, which is one of the justifications for this thing. And you know, the truth is they haven't had any trouble getting their permits, and in fact the oil producers, the refiners have been manipulating their refinery capacity in order to keep prices high. In fact, Senator Boxer pointed out that in California, her state, I mean, they virtually proved that refiners would shut down their refineries or portions of their refineries in the middle of the highest demand period, the middle of the summer when people are driving, just to run the price up so they can make more money. And so, I mean, the refiners don't want to build more capacity.
Because they like the profit that they have right now.
Exactly. They like to keep just barely enough capacity to keep the price high and to supply everyone with just barely enough fuel, because that way they can tack on much higher profits and capitalize on people's fear that they're going to run out of gas.
Mm. So the committee hearing in the Senate is when?
It's next week, I believe, I think Wednesday the 26th, Wednesday of next week.
And then how long would it take for the bill, just if you can speculate, if the bill is passed and is sent back to the House for reconciliation?
What they would do if it passes the committee next week, then the Senate would have a vote to appoint conferees, and that would be a very small group of senators who would go, and the House would do the same thing, and they would go into a room and hash out what the bill that would go back to both houses would contain. And now Senator Inhofe is saying that he doesn't believe that has to happen, that he thinks his bill would just get voted out in the House. I don't trust him on that. I don't think people should trust him on that. I think what they're trying to do is just get something out of the Senate that they can send back to the House and tack on all these really bad clean air rollbacks, like the delay attainment deadlines and do a bunch of other bad things.
Can the Democrats?
And that could happen within, you know, within a month.
Now, could the Democrats, could they slow this process down? Could they slow getting a bill out of committee down?
Well, if they can't slow it getting out of committee, but if all the Democrats, eight of them, would vote against it, and if Senator Chafee votes with them, which is the most likely scenario, assuming that, you know, people weigh in with their senators, and like Senator Obama, who's on the committee, they could stop it in committee.
Oh, they could.
They could stop the Senate bill in committee, yes. And that's, you know, that it's an uphill battle, but that, I think that's a very, 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 very within the realm of possibilities.
And where can people find out more information through your organization, Jim?
Well, we have a website, www.earthjustice.org, and they should be able to find this issue on there. And there's an action alert on there where they could, fill their name and a little comment out on an action alert. Actually, it's already, most of the stuff is filled in there for them, and just hit send, and it would go to their senator.
Very good.
And aside from ours, there are plenty of other websites out there that have similar action alerts, like the Natural Resources Defense Council that we work with, NRDC.org. The American Lung Association is very active on this, so they could go to any of those websites and find the same information. But I'd like to give out Senator Obama's phone number.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, here in D.C., it's 202-224-2854.
That's 202-224-2854.
Yes, and that's his Washington, D.C. number. I have other numbers here for Springfield and Marion. I don't think those are any closer to... I don't know where Marion is.
Well, we're on the Internet, so everybody can hear us. So why don't you give those numbers out, too?
Okay, in Chicago, it's 312-886-3506.
Okay.
In Springfield, it's 217-492-5089. And in Marion, it's 618-997-2402.
2402.
And they can email them, actually, at... Barack_Obama at obama.senate.gov.
.gov. Yeah. Jim Cox, Legislative Counsel with Earth Justice, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Liz. Appreciate you having me on.
My pleasure. Take care.
You too.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown wake-up call. We're going to take a break. I will be back to take some of your calls, to take some of your comments, to talk about some more stories that you probably haven't heard. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. With a look at this hour's traffic weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 270 between Illinois 3 and Canal Bridge is an accident on the left shoulder. Traffic jams back at Route 111. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit. There's road maintenance going on that has the right lane and the exit ramp closed. You can use 11th Street to get around. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack to Bowles. Look for no problems. It's slow, but it's steady. Westbound 270, or westbound 255 from Cope to Lemay Ferry. Expect normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 70 from Dumbbell to 270. No problems to report there. Northbound 270 from Sappington to 44. It's stop and go. West or eastbound 40 at Ballast to Spady. It is slow, then heavy in pockets to Big Bend.
westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Floor. Something you still have slow traffic going on up in North County. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Look for slow traffic of westbound 5570 from the Exchange onto the PSB. You still have stop-and-go bumper-to-bumper traffic. Westbound 64 at Bowell Avenue all the way into 5570 is slow. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, everything looks good. Route KNN, there's an injury accident. And northbound Brentwood at Litzinger, there's construction work in the right lane, and police have traffic is backed up to Manchester. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play. Play big. Play small. Play when you need a smile. Play because you deserve it. No matter how you play, play the Illinois Lottery. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Warmer, mostly sunny today. High around 80 this evening. Mostly cloudy. A chance for showers. Low in the mid-50s. Thursday, mostly cloudy. Another chance for showers. Even a thunderstorm. High in the lower 70s. Thursday evening, showers are likely with a low in the mid-50s. And then on Friday, mostly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 65 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 65 as well. Under sunny skies, that's a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown coming up next, right here on AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Did you know that you can have the Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System installed by United Homecraft and eliminate gutter cleaning forever? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is Leaf Blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The Leaf Blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System from United Homecraft, one of St. Louis's oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the ITEX Trade Exchange. Your ITEX trade dollars are welcome.
Wake up call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Taking off my shoes, jumping in the water, washing away these blues. Now there's a ocean. Current takes hold. Words already been spoken. Tales already been told. Hearts already been broken. Wounds already been healed. Do you wanna be loved? Do you wanna be
Be love for real. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. I do want to say this again, and I'm going to keep saying this because it's important. We're going to be doing this second annual blanket drive, and we need volunteers. We need volunteers to help on Friday, the 18th, and Saturday, the 19th of November. We're going to be broadcasting live from Carver House. We need your blankets. We all went out and bought our $5 blankets last year. I would like to ask you to put away, to start putting away $20 a week, or put away $20. $20, a little bit over $20, represents five blankets. Five brand new blankets. You can get them at a number of stores. $5 for a blanket. It's going to be a cold winter. It's going to be there are going to be a lot of people in Chicago alone. The gas company cut off 30,000 people off their heating gas prior to the winter setting in Chicago. Our heating bills are going to be 40% higher than they were last year. We're in a world of hurt. We're in a world of trouble. And we have a lot of challenges confronting us, y'all. This blanket drive is a very important thing, and we need volunteers. I need you to call me at 454-6660. Give Howard your name and phone number. You'll be getting a free T-shirt, blanket drive T-shirt, fabulously designed by Mark Carroll. You're gonna love the T-shirt, and you're gonna love the feeling that you get from warming hearts and bodies and minds all over the city of St. Louis at our second annual blanket drive. So please give us a call at 454-6660. Leave your name and number for to volunteer, or you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. But we need you. We need your help. We need your assistance for either Friday or Saturday, November 18th and 19th, or both days. And you get a free T-shirt in your effort, and put aside $20 a week. That's 5, 10, 15, 20 blankets that you would be able to bring. If you put aside $20 a week from now until November 18th, 19th, that's $20, $40, $60, $80. That's 5, 10, 15, 20 blankets. That's 20 blankets that you can do right now. Have your kids put aside $20. That's 5 blankets. Represent everybody in your family. Bringing in 5 blankets. Bringing in 10 blankets. You know, if 5 people do that, we're talking about 100 blankets right there. If 5 folks do that. So if everybody in your family did that, just put it away now. Put it away now. $20, 5 blankets, plus tax. We're trying to do 5,000 blankets. We did 2,000 last year. We can do this. They need it. Folks need it. Christmas gift in the name of your family and your loved one. Do it in honor of a relative of yours, a loved one of yours that is no longer with us. I'll be happy to put that over the air. Be happy to do that. Maybe we'll do this for next year. On our T-shirts, we will commemorate the families that are giving blankets in the name of their dearly departed family members. You know what? I will make that commitment to you. If anybody that gives 20 blankets or more in the name of a loved one will have their loved one's name on the Wake Up Call 3rd Annual Blanket Drive T-shirt. That will be my commitment to you all. Let's create a wall of giving. And maybe we'll even have a wall of giving at Carver House too. Because that's who our partner is this year. We're partnering up once again with Carver House to do the Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. But we do need you as a volunteer. Please call 454-6660. Leave your name and number to volunteer to help us on November 18th and 19th. Or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. We can do this. We can do this. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz, you know, Blunt and the legislature, let's not forget what we're dealing with. This state, the only one who has ever attempted this, the legislature is to report back, I believe it's the summer of 2007, with a plan to liquidate the Medicaid system. This is right out of Gingrich that President Clinton vetoed, so we aren't dealing with good people or decent people. They need to be electoral annihilated through the ballot box because we are dealing with a group of political mad dogs. Thank you very much, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. There is a story that is coming out of Salon.com. They're suggesting that within days, if not within hours, the special prosecutor in the CIA case will announce the outcome of his 2-year investigation. But the bigger story, if there can be a bigger story, if we're talking about it reaching, percolating all the way to the top of the White House, is that there may be a lawsuit that is filed by the attorney representing Joseph Wilson and his wife, Valerie Plame. And we may be able to get George Bush under oath during a civil trial on this issue. Because apparently in 1997, the Supreme Court issued a unanimous decision giving the green light to Paula Jones' lawsuit against Bill Clinton, despite the fact that he was a sitting president. The court ruled that Jones's allegations, which involved personal conduct during Clinton's year as a governor, were not protected by any claim of executive immunity. Clinton finally settled the lawsuit with Jones in 1998 for $850,000. He offered neither an apology nor an admission of guilt. Can we get at George W. Bush? Well, it's not clear. But certainly the precedent has been set. The White House undoubtedly will offer up the case of Nixon versus Fitzgerald that said that the president enjoys absolute immunity from damages liability predicated upon his official acts. But the good news, folks, is that it is not clear whether this immunity extends to the vice president or to senior White House aides, or if the White House could claim that the discussions of Plame's identity could be viewed as an official act. Now, that would be certainly a twisted thing, wouldn't it? Our decision to out her was an official act. Okay, you need to go home. You need to quit your job if that's the argument that you're going to make. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have so much more to talk about. Stay with me. Our number here is 454-0400. We ain't done here. We ain't done here. Was it your pride? Made you want to die? Leave your mama, wonder why? And your baby, get to cry. And was it over? Jilted lover, trusted brother, operating undercover. Make
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline New Orleans. The former president of the New Orleans City Council and member of the Orleans Levy Board says deep-rooted corruption in city government led to total ineptness in the handling of the evacuation and aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Peggy Wilson claims City Hall and Levy Board corruption was absolutely horrible. She served on the City Council from 1986 through 1998. When she lost her race, Republican Governor Mike Foster appointed her to the Levy Board. The State and Levy Board had a running feud between 1996 and 2001 over how money was being spent. She alleges that instead of spending its money on maintaining the levees around New Orleans, the board spent most of its money doing projects to accommodate riverboat casinos, which were a major source of funding for the levy board. The casinos paid to use the riverfront property next to their boats. Former levy board chairman Francis Heitmer, whom Wilson was sharply critical of for providing patronage jobs to friends and relatives, says the picture of the levy board Wilson is trying to paint is not accurate. He says the Corps of Engineers is the agency that builds and maintains the levees. All the levy board does is cut the grass on them. And Dateline London. A new book has been published that features notes from British Prime Minister Tony Blair's personal secretary. The book is entitled Lawless World and was written by Professor Philippe Sands. Those notes pertain to a phone call between President Bush and Prime Minister Blair that took place on January 30, 2003. At that time, Blair wanted the president to get a second resolution from the UN that said Iraq was in violation of disarmament demands, and that resolution would also authorize military action. Bush says he did want that second resolution, but he was afraid that the lead UN arms inspector, Hans Blix, was going to conclude that Saddam was offering cooperation, thereby delaying the need for any military action. Bush decided that such a conclusion would make him look weak, and he would not stand for that. When the UN inspectors came up empty with any WMDs, Bush began to pressure the UN to pull them out, saying that the U.S. could no longer wait because the threat was real. 2 months later, the invasion began. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to Savas Center for the premiere of Budweiser Friday Night Fights in the Concert Club at Savas Center.
Boxing fans won't want to miss this inaugural Budweiser Friday Night Fights in the Concert Club at Savas Center, October 21st at 7 p.m. Don't miss David Diaz as he takes on Lamar Murphy for the IBA Lightweight Championship. And a St. Louis Turf War heats up as the Northsiders' undefeated Devin Alexander meets the Southsiders' Kelly Wright. Also on the bill, St. Louis boxers Lamar Harris and Rodriguez Muhammad, and former IBF light heavyweight champ William Guthrie battles Danny Williams. Seats start at just $25. Tickets on sale now at the Savas Center box office, all Ticketmaster outlets, by phone at 314-241-1888 or online at Ticketmaster.com. Show your support for boxing in St. Louis, Friday, October 21st, the Concert Club at Savas Center.
Wake up call, family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets.
Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Yes, I think I'm going out of my head for you. Oh, you. I want you to want me. I need you so badly. I can't think anything but you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Talk about going out of my head. I got an email. Sometimes I share them with you, sometimes I don't. I wanted to share this one with you. Liz, my name is Tim. I drive in the mornings and listen to your show. You can really drive a person nuts that doesn't have a cell phone. That would be me, because your shows make me want to jump out of the car sometimes and scream, "How can we stop this craziness?" All caps. I will soon be able to join it because I will have chronic pancreatitis and it will soon be taking me out of work. The guy you had on last week about practicing to bring down the towers with planes and box cutters really got to me. So you know, I'm a 48-year-old white man who was fed up with this crap, but like many, I feel so small. Thanks for being good at what you do. Take care of yourself, a friend. Going out of your mind. I understand. I understand. There's craziness out here. There is craziness out here. This story out of the New York Times. It just makes you want to holler. It just makes you want to holler. It's Americans, far too many Americans live a life that is disconnected to an understanding that there is a future and something beyond us, beyond our immediate needs. We live in a world like it doesn't matter whether we plan for trees being out there and protecting them. Doesn't matter where there's no, we live in a world where our administration is saying that there is no such thing as global warming. We don't take care of our children. Let me just give you a sign of this. The use of sleeping pills among children and very young adults rose 85% from 2000 to 2004. 15% of the people that were using the drugs are under the age of 20. Children are being given sleeping pills as a regular basis. A few of the prescriptions were given to children, and few of the prescriptions given to children and young adults have the approval of FDA, because no sleep medication has been approved for use in children under 18. Still, doctors commonly use medications for patients and disorders for which the drugs have never received formal approval, particularly when the patients are children. So for all you parents out there that your doctors are prescribing drugs for your children, you need to do one little parental thing. How about asking your doctor if the drug has received FDA approval for the use in children? Parents are turning to sleeping pills for behavioral issues in their children. Sleeping pills. And my concern about this, my observation about this is, again, it's as if people have a disconnect, no connect, no understanding of a future. What is a child? How is a child going to manage anxiety? Because living in life, you're going to get anxious sometime. How is an adult going to manage anxiety if they were a child? 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, they were taking sleeping pills when they were 10 years old. What good, what kind of husband is that little boy going to make to some woman out here when his mama and daddy gave him sleeping pills throughout his teens to manage his anxiety? What kind of wife, what kind of mother is your daughter going to be if you are teaching her to manage her anxiety or her behavior through the use of sleeping pills? But the use of sleeping pills among children and very young adults rose 85% from the year 2000 to 2004. And part of this has been the access to the airwaves. We have Americans out here that lost their mind about Janet Jackson's breastises being exposed. What you should lose your mind about is the fact that a drug company can induce you and your family to get hooked up on drugs for the rest of their lives. At some point in life, everybody's going to see a woman's breast. At some point in their life, somebody's going to see a woman's breast. It's okay. It's not going to kill you. But does everybody in the world need another drug commercial? Give you an example of this Lunesta. I'm sure you've all seen this Lunesta sleeping pill commercial. It's slick. It's sexy. It's wonderful. Make me want to get a sleeping pill. Fact of the matter is that Lunesta doesn't work that much better than a sugar pill. It impairs your cognitive performance the next day. As soon as you stop taking the drug, your insomnia comes right back. Not according to the commercial. Leave Janet's breast alone and get mad about these commercials that are making you do stuff and your babies get stuff that you have no business using and your babies have no business using. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in the city.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Alex Stone. Hurricane Wilma is now the most powerful hurricane ever in the Atlantic. A small storm packing massive power. The eye is only a couple miles across, but the storm has winds of 175 miles an hour. It's between Honduras and Cuba right now. Jennifer Pralgo at the National Hurricane Center says it'll probably hit land sometime this weekend.
We do expect it to make landfall probably at a Category 3 hurricane.
Speaking of hurricanes, the landmark Café du Monde in New Orleans has reopened for the first time since Hurricane Katrina struck that city. ABC's Nancy Wiener is in New Orleans.
The doors here at Café du Monde opened at 6 on the dot, and there were several dozen people waiting in line. They missed their chicory coffee and their beignets. It's a tradition here in this town to go to the café, which is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's been closed for 7 weeks, and boy, were they happy to see it open.
ABC's Nancy Wiener in New Orleans. The Saddam Hussein trial has adjourned until November 28th. During the first day of the trial, Hussein entered a not guilty plea. Hussein was defiant, refusing to answer many questions. Powerball fever is on in the 27 states and Washington, D.C., where the game is played. The jackpot is nearing $340 million, the second biggest lotto in U.S. history. And a lot of people are lining up to get tickets. ABC's Pam Coulter is in Washington.
The minute they opened the doors of the Daily Market Deli, people did not go straight for the bagels. They made a beeline for the Powerball machine, with a dozen people lining up almost immediately. One of the first in line was a legal secretary who bought $10 worth and said, of course, when asked if she'd quit her job after winning.
Financial experts say it would be a good idea for winners to contact a lawyer and a financial advisor before they let anyone know they have the winning ticket. This is ABC News.
Honey, this is great sushi. Where'd you get it?
Oh, I made it myself.
Really?
Yeah, I'm full of surprises.
Where'd you get the fish?
Caught it myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, down at the creek.
The creek?
Yeah, the one by the treatment plant.
United Healthcare knows that people don't always use common sense. Fortunately, we bring common sense to healthcare, like offering affordable health benefit solutions, quality and cost comparison tools, and live and online chats with medical experts. United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
Are you one of the millions of seniors trying to decide which Medicare Part D prescription drug plan is right for you? Help is as close as your nearby Save-On or Osco pharmacy. We can set up an appointment with you to help answer your questions about this new plan. You'll find free brochures to better understand your options, plus bring in a list of the medications you're taking, and we'll provide you with a list of drug plan options that cover those medications. The help you need is as close as your Save-On and Osco pharmacies. Stop by today.
A big Hollywood honor for actor Antonio Banderas. ABC's Dave Alpert reports from Tinseltown.
Antonio Banderas Day in Hollywood!
The star of The Legend of Zorro has made his mark on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I could see on the ground a star, and he had my name on it.
The Spanish heartthrob says it's something he's been dreaming of since first coming here 16 years ago.
What happened here today means that anything is possible.
Banderas' star here in front of the Kodak Theater is the 2,294th on the famous Hollywood sidewalk. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Hollywood. An earthquake in Tokyo shook a lot of buildings, but apparently didn't do much damage.
We're looking outside, and power is still on, and we don't see any structural damage anywhere. We just kind of rolled with the quake.
Paul W. Smith, the morning radio host for Detroit's WJR, is in Tokyo for the Motor Show. He said it was quite an experience. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Reporting WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston. This report brought to you by International Star Registry. In the news at this hour, a former bank president will be sentenced early next year after admitting to a fraud scheme at his bank. 46-year-old Mark Repking of Godfrey will be sentenced January 20th after pleading guilty yesterday to making a false statement to a bank and making a false statement on a tax return. Prosecutors say Repking made a false entry in the books of the Liberty Bank in Alton, where he was serving as the president at the time, and also concealed the overdraft of his account there. Repking could face more than 30 years in prison. In other news, local and federal economists are discussing ways to encourage entrepreneurship. The Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis yesterday hosted a conference on how the government can create an environment that's friendly to small businesses. Glenda Wilson, the Assistant Vice President and Community Affairs Officer for the Federal Reserve in St. Louis, says so-called passive policies may be more effective in encouraging small business development than active policies such as tax credits.
Things like just lowering taxes so that the tax base overall is lower, that would encourage more people to open businesses.
Wilson says many of the current policies for helping small businesses are active policies, such as the Small Business Administration's assistance for entrepreneurs looking for financing. And in Arnold, five people are injured after a rush hour crash yesterday on Interstate 55. A van went off the right side of the highway and overturned around 5 in the afternoon on Interstate 55 near Richardson Road. A seriously injured passenger was airlifted to a St. Louis hospital. Four others, including the driver, were taken to the hospital with less serious injuries. Authorities believe a blown tire is to blame for that crash. That's a look at the WGNU News, brought to you by the International Star Registry. International Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list. It's the ultimate gift. International Star Registry at 1-800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Rhodes Furniture. Westbound 270 at Lilac, there's an accident that has been cleared, but there's still a brief slowdown. Eastbound 40 between Vallis and Spady, look for an injury accident. It's on the right shoulder. Expect a brief slowdown. Northbound 55 between Lindbergh and the brewery, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass to 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 between K and the Blanchette Bridge, everything's running smoothly. Northbound 270 from Gravois to 44 is slow. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, you've got heavy volume. Westbound 40 between Brentwood or Big Bend and Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 from Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic, westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way on to Laclede's Landing. Look for everything to be running smoothly now. Northbound Brentwood at Litzinger. Construction work has the right lane closed, and that traffic's backed up to Manchester Road. New Halls Ferry at Shackelford. There's an accident, as well as Baptist Park Road at Highway A. There's a report of an injury accident as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Rhodes Furniture. After 130 years, Rhodes Furniture is in bankruptcy and is closing their stores forever in St. Louis, Baldwin, Hazelwood, St. Peter's, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. Everything must be liquidated immediately at sacrifice prices. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Warmer today, mostly sunny with a high around 80. This evening, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers with a low in the mid-50s. Thursday, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers and thunderstorms, a high in the lower 70s. Thursday evening, showers are likely to continue with a low in the mid-50s. And then on Friday, mostly cloudy, once again, another chance for showers with a high only in the mid-60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under sunny skies, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 65. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The wake-up call blanket drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I remember saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this
end? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
We struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. I was reflecting back on the Millions More movement from this weekend. I had forgotten that one of the things that the Millions More movement, Minister Farrakhan and the hundreds of other people of African descent that spoke to crowds of hundreds of thousands of people, one of the things that they said, one of the concerns that were, that was articulated, one concern that was articulated, was the concern about how the people of Louisiana, of New Orleans, were going to receive their resources, whether they were going to be counted, the loss of the political structure when you disperse tens of thousands of people all over the United States. Their needs. Well, what are the needs? What needs are being met of these United States citizens that live in New Orleans? And there's going to be a counting meeting, and a counting meeting in New Orleans later this month to count folks, to count, to address their issues, the things that are happening to the citizens. We hear story after story about Café du Monde opening up. Beignets are available. Part of the story that's not reported is that Café du Monde wasn't touched by the hurricane. Café du Monde used this opportunity to close, to redo, to upgrade their restaurant and kitchen facilities. They weren't destroyed. They had an opportunity in the 7 weeks to upgrade their facility. That's not the life experience of most people. But yet we hear the story of Café du Monde opening up, which is, you know, fine and wonderful. But you didn't get hit by the hurricane like other New Orleans did, hit and dispersed. It's wonderful to want to talk about success, but it is wrong to talk about success in an effort or success that has the impact of covering up the real story and the wrong stuff that is going on out here as a result of Hurricane Katrina. So we need to talk about Café du Monde can take care of itself. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. We need to talk about folks that don't work at Café du Monde, and what folks in Washington have done to citizens in New Orleans. And we're going to do that this morning with Ross Eisenbray. He is the Vice President and Policy Director for the Economic Policy Institute, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Ross, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
It's wonderful to have you here. It's great for Café du Monde, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there are some other folks that are trying to work in New Orleans, and they're getting taken advantage of.
Well, there are 400,000 people about in the area who lost jobs.
Mm.
So it's wonderful that there are a few who have jobs, but there really is still a disaster going on for you know, every day, week after week, for hundreds of thousands of other people.
I will say this, that it was reported that the Davis-Bacon Act that was suspended by George W. Bush, that was reported. But you know what, Ross? What hasn't been reported and what continually goes without better discussion is the impact of this, the suspension of the Davis-Bacon Act. Talk to us about that.
Well, the Davis-Bacon Act requires that when the federal government comes in a situation like this, it's coming in massively with hundreds of millions of dollars, potentially tens of billions of dollars of construction contracts that could put a lot of people to work. It's supposed to pay, it's required under Davis-Bacon to pay and to have all the contractors on these jobs pay the prevailing wage.
We're not talking about a minimum wage, we're talking about prevailing wage.
Whatever was the locally prevailing wage. Now, in some cases, that's a very low wage. In Mississippi, truck drivers in Gulfport under Davis-Bacon only made a dollar more than the minimum wage. $6.14 an hour was all that was required. In New Orleans, it's a lot more. It's $10 up to like 13 and a quarter. You know, these are not high wages, but they're at least a respectable wage, enough to get a family of four above poverty, for example.
And we're talking about driving a truck in New Orleans, and that was what they're paying is about the average wage for an industrial truck driver.
Yeah, and the law requires that everyone who works on these contracts be paid at least that much. Now, in the case of skilled workers, it could be for an electrician, it might be $20 or $22 an hour. Whatever was the locally prevailing wage, which is either the average of what everyone was paid, or if there was one wage paid to more than 50% of all the workers, that's set as the prevailing wage. Okay, so that's the requirement. But when Bush suspended that, it said to contractors, you can go in and instead of paying a carpenter $17 an hour, you could pay him $10 an hour. And if you were a carpenter who, you know, whose house had been destroyed, who was trying to, bring his family back and bring his life back into some kind of order, instead of going to work at his old wage of $17 an hour, now the contractors are all coming in offering $10. And, that's a huge cut for him. Instead of helping him get back up on his feet, it's sort of knocking his feet out from under him.
And I kind of want to try to underscore what you're saying here, Ross, because when I talked about how the Davis-Bacon, the suspension by George Bush of the Davis-Bacon Act was not really discussed, I think an important point to underscore here is that I think a lot of people had the understanding when the Davis-Bacon Act was suspended that, well, people were making $30, $40 an hour, and now some businesses can go in and pay less than that. We're talking about states that aren't even necessarily paying above the average rate for these jobs. Now businesses can go in and pay even lower than the average wage. That's what these businesses got with that.
That's right. All of these wages pretty much are below the national average. Mississippi has the lowest construction wages in the nation. So when the prevailing wage, let's say for roofers, was $11 an hour, it's closer to $15 nationally. But now, instead of paying the $11 an hour, people can come in and pay roofers on federal contracts and pay them $6, $7 an hour. And that's a huge encouragement. And, in fact, there are lots of reports that what's happening is people are being brought in from outside the region. Instead of hiring back the people who live in the Ninth Ward of New Orleans, who are overwhelmingly African American and have lived in that area for most of their lives, contractors are bringing in crews from Texas and from over the border in Mexico, bringing people in who are willing to work for $6 an hour.
Who are excited to work for $6 an hour.
Yeah, for whom this is more than they've been making. And
the other piece of it is I listened to George W. Bush talk about suspending the rules to allow people, undocumented citizens, to work at, and his words, work at jobs that Americans don't want and wouldn't work at those wages. Well, an American who's working in California in the fields of plucking fruit off of the trees is not going to be able to send money back to his family in New York and help his family out with the wages that they're paying. A person that lives, whose family is in Mexico, where it's cheaper to live, is going to be able to send money back. That's not a good thing for America. That doesn't mean it's not a job that Americans don't want. It means that American companies are not paying people money enough to live off of.
Well, that's always been true of agriculture, but we're talking about construction,
construction
here. I mean, these are jobs that Americans do want. Mm-hmm. These are, you know, a job that pays $16.87 an hour. That's what the national average for a cement mason is. It's just not right to say that Americans don't want and won't do those jobs at those wages. But if you cut that wage to $6 an hour, then you might have some trouble finding someone who, you know, especially someone with skills, who's going to want to work for that kind of money.
Or who can afford to work.
Oh, yeah, who wants to raise a family.
Who can raise a family on that?
The poverty threshold in the United States, the official poverty threshold, is very low. I mean, it's very hard for a family to make it on.
Give us those numbers, please.
Well, it's for a family of four, it's $19,000 a year, which works out to about $9.28 an hour on an hourly basis. If you work, you know, 2,000 hours a year, basically full-time, 52 weeks.
Ross, I can't imagine that. Raising a family of four on $19,000 a year?
A lot of people do it. God bless them. I don't know how, but it's...
I don't know how they can do it either.
But we're talking about wages that are less than that. The prevailing wage in Mississippi for cement masons is $8.33 an hour, and what this suspension of Davis-Bacon does is say you can pay less than that. You can pay less than a poverty wage. It's wrong.
Help me with how Bush was able to suspend indefinitely the Davis-Bacon Act. What authority did he use to do that?
The act itself has a provision that in national emergencies, the president can suspend the law.
So he didn't come back from vacation. But he came back and used as a national. He didn't come back from vacation as a result of an emergency, but he used an emergency to suspend this act.
Yeah.
What's Congress's response? Is there anything that Congress can do about this?
Yeah, Congress can override what the president has done. But, of course, they have to pass a law to do it, and then the president has to not veto the law. Either that or two-thirds of both houses have to override his veto, and that just isn't very likely. I think out of 230 Republicans in the House, 35, I believe, is the number that signed a letter to the president asking him not to do this, and when he had done it, asking him to reverse his proclamation. But, you know, it's going to take a lot more than that.
And I'm sitting here thinking, Ross, about people bragging on the United States being the greatest nation in the world, and yet in the face of one of the greatest natural disasters to befall this country, the response of this administration is to use it as an opportunity to pay people less than poverty wages.
Yeah, to drive down the wages in a region that was already struggling economically and then is hit by this disaster, to make his first act, you know, his first public proclamation on this was to drive down wages in the area, I just thought it was heartless.
It is heartless. And I guess my next question is, what was the explanation that was given from George W. Bush for this? Because I can't imagine that there was any discussion saying that businesses, that the government that has been able to pay Halliburton $17 for a can of Coke couldn't afford to pay wages that are still below the national average. What business could even make that claim that we can't afford to do that, particularly when the government's cutting the check?
Well, I think the administration has said that they would be able to do the work more cheaply if they paid lower wages. And, you know, at first blush, you know, maybe there's that seems almost reasonable, but in fact, they didn't hold down the contractors' profits in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So a contractor could, you know, have a $2 million contract and instead of paying $1 million in wages, pay $800,000 in wages, and then he would just have a bigger profit at the end of the contract. So there's the taxpayers are not getting more bang for their buck out of this. All they're getting is poorer people in the very area that we're supposed to be trying to help.
And also, because we live in a democracy, Ross, shouldn't there be a balancing argument made that, okay, let's just say that companies got to make less money. But shouldn't a president or couldn't a president, in the time of a national emergency where hundreds of thousands of people have no homes, have no jobs, have no city to go back to, shouldn't a president say, you know what, I'm going to side with the worker in this case, and businesses, you can afford to make a little less money while we are building building a community back. He had the option of saying that, didn't he?
Well, he certainly could have said that. And we actually at our institute, we just published a paper about a week ago that examines what happened in the California earthquakes back in the early 90s when there were terrible earthquakes in the Los Angeles area and it smashed down highways and bridges, and they all had to be rebuilt in the Los Angeles area. And our study showed that not waiving Davis-Bacon, paying the prevailing wage, contractors did the job at lightning speed. They rebuilt the highways and got them back up and running in 66 days. The contractors made a healthy profit. They didn't have to sacrifice their profit. They got skilled workers who worked very hard, and there were actually production bonuses for doing the work quickly and well. So the contractors were paid well, the workers were paid, and the public got high-quality construction done quickly. That's the model for what you would want to see here.
Logically, I just don't see how a business can make an argument that going in and having to pay less than what you normally have to pay in any other job in any other state in the United States is going to hurt you financially. Because if we had kept the prevailing wages, you weren't paying what you normally had to pay on other jobs. So you couldn't be losing money with paying the prevailing wages.
No, and all your competitors have to bid at the same wage rate. So there's just no way that someone who's a productive, well-managed business could be hurt by this.
Let me get to a call or two here. Sam, you have a question or comment for Ross Eisenbrain?
Yeah, good show.
Thank you. What's your comment or question?
Yeah, I think it's time for maybe for liberals and conservatives to join together. Like if Pat Buchanan says 2 plus 2 is 4, just because he's a conservative, he isn't wrong. The liberals need to take a stand on the illegal immigrants. The illegals have devastated the working class. The situation in New Orleans is textbook. And just, you know, I'm just saying, this is an issue that the liberal power structure can really sink your teeth into. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
And we're going to come back. We have to take a break right now. Ross, we'll come back. I'm Liz Brown talking to Ross Eisenbrain, Vice President and Policy Director for Economic Policy Institute, joining us from Washington, D.C. I'll get back to some of your calls and comments at 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
Strong brother, there is no one above you. I want you to know that I'm here for you. Oh, never too far.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Ugh, gas is so expensive anymore. I don't want to drive all over town to shop.
I know what you mean.
But you want to get a gift for Jeff and Connie's anniversary? Something really special, you said, and I want to get an estimate on new siding.
Well, Jeff and Connie are going to Regional Exposure 2005.
When's that?
Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. It's at the St. Clair Square. I'll find Jeff and Connie's gift while you visit exhibits representing hundreds of manufacturers, distributors, and services. Everything you need in one stop. Plus, great entertainment. And you can register to win great prizes all weekend.
Hey, let's carpool with Jeff and Connie. That way we'll really save gas.
Regional Exposure 2005, Saturday, October 22nd from 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored by Anchor Siding and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Give more details at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
It's a story foretold 19 centuries ago, as contemporary as today's news, but you won't see this movie in any theater. You will see it at 7 p.m. Sunday, October 23rd at Trinity Tabernacle in Bridgeton. Left Behind, World at War stars Academy Award winner Louis Gossett Jr., Kirk Cameron, Chelsea Noble, and Gordon Curry in a story based on the bestsellers Left Behind and Tribulation Force. Follow the lives of those left behind on Earth following the rapture of the church and be part of an exciting new kind of outreach. The first motion picture ever to open in churches, not theaters. Proceeds will benefit the growing ministries of Trinity Tabernacle. See Left Behind, World at War, Sunday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. at Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton. For more information, call 314-291-8839. That's 314-291-8839.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual Blanket Drive t-shirt as a thank you.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. I am talking to Ross Eisenbray. He's the Vice President and Policy Director for the Economic Policy Institute, joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about Gulf families recovery at risk. Ross, on our way out, we had a person call and raise the question of immigration and suggest that as a result of what is happening in the Gulf area that and what's happening with workers being brought in to from across the border to work at low wages, that this is an issue that liberals need to join with the Republicans and the conservatives on. Can you speak to that? Can you speak to that, Ross? Have we lost him? I think that we have, we're having some technical difficulties here with our guest. Tell you what, we're going to hold that thought for a minute or two and see if we can get our guest back. So, Ross, welcome back. We have a few technical difficulties there. Can you speak to this issue of the, if this is an issue with regard to immigration, that this is a liberal issue that, or the issue that the liberals can join with the conservatives on with regard to this, the suspension of the Davis-Bacon Act?
Well, it's one of the most problematic issues that we have. We've had employer sanctions that make it illegal to hire undocumented workers ever since about 1985. It's been about 20 years, and they just haven't worked. They're not enforced. They end up being almost a worst of all possible world situation where millions of people come across the border. They're not allowed to work legally, so they're always kind of in the shadows. Employers can exploit them and do exploit them.
Yes.
And when they speak out, they get deported. So it's a bad situation for them, and it's bad for the domestic workforce, resident Americans and resident aliens who are here legally, because the labor pool keeps expanding. That means that there are more workers seeking, you know, a fixed number of jobs, or at least jobs that aren't growing as fast as the population is expanding, and it's bad for everybody. But I don't know what the answer is.
But I also think that one of the issues that keeps the two sides apart on this, on the issue of immigrant, is an undercurrent of racism that percolates through a lot of people on the other side of the issue's interest in closing down the borders. That it seems to also have to do with race of individuals. And so there's a resistance from those that want to address this issue to align themselves with what appears to be something that is generated by more than concerns about American interest.
Well, there's definitely a racial component to it, but there's, you know, it's just a fact that people see, a lot of people see Mexicans as, you know, not American,
mm-hmm.
you know, not the same, not having the same values, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the bigger issue is that people want, employers want the workforce without giving them the rights. Now they want, and right now the administration is talking about a giant guest worker program to have people come from Central America and Mexico to work, but not have rights, not be citizens, not ever take part in our democratic processes, just to come for their labor. And it's a weird way to work. It's a kind
it's
of colonialism
exactly.
that makes me very, very uneasy.
And the other piece of it is my thoughts on it. It's kind of like prostitution. If you wanted to end prostitution, then go after the people that seek the prostitutes out. Prostitutes wouldn't have a job if there weren't Johns to come to prostitutes. Well, if businesses were not employing people that are undocumented, then they wouldn't have a job. Enforce the laws against the businesses for doing this, and then we wouldn't have the problem. And we would also have higher wages for American workers, livable wages for American workers. There are laws on the books, as you've said, to enforce against employers that are doing this.
Right. We've had those, and that was the theory back in 1985, 1986, when the immigration reform was passed, that employer sanctions would sort of dry up the magnet that was pulling people from Mexico and Central America. In fact, it didn't work. The law was, it's hard to enforce it.
Well, no law works if there's no enforcement with
it. Right. Just a very hard thing to have enough people to examine all the records. And unless you have something that says, if you make a mistake, employer, if you read these documents and you think that the person is legal and it turns out that they're here illegally, we're still going to sanction you. Unless you have a law that is that harsh, I don't think employer sanctions can work, because people can buy fraudulent documents. it's easy. And, you know, what's an employer supposed to do? I actually have a fair amount of sympathy for an employer, you know, who is presented with a Social Security card and presented with an immigration document that looks perfectly good and hires the person. This happens all the time. Mm. There's a whole industry that produces just a few blocks from where I am. You can go into restaurants here and talk to someone, and they'll sell you for $20 fraudulent documents.
Mm.
It's a very hard thing to police.
But we can deal with people that are citizens here, and if you make the jobs that, or if the government pays the prevailing wage, then we're not going to have this issue, at least not to the extent that we have it right now.
That's right. And if we had, and it almost doesn't matter if everyone were being paid a fair wage,
if
we had a better minimum wage.
There you go.
So that people, if everyone knew that if they worked full time, they could support a family, you know, that they could work and have a living wage, if we had the American ideal rewarding work and hard work, it wouldn't matter.
There you go.
But because we have so many jobs where you'd have to work two of them full time, mm-hmm. To begin to have a decent living, then it makes it a situation where people will come from across the border who are in even worse straits.
And they could and the sad part is that it's good money in their country. So that tells you how bad off their country is.
That's right. And then they come here and they're forced to live. They can't afford rent, you know, in a decent place. They end up being piled up in slums or in lousy housing. And, you know, then we'll see what's been happening recently in France where you know, places burn down and 40 people are killed because they're all crowded together. And it's just a matter of time before, you know, this just turns into a really ugly situation.
Let me get to another caller or two. Kevin, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, how you doing?
Fine.
I was watching the about the Vietnam War on Channel 9, I think, a couple of days ago. And what happened was when these rich white kids were threatened to be drafted, they actually got in the face of the police and physically started fighting to stop that Vietnam War. What the union, and I've been a union organizer, I've been kicked out of all unions because I don't believe that this peaceful way of doing it. When they're doing something illegal like that, the unions need to organize, sit there in the face, and challenge the system. And they're not doing it. Talk is cheap when it comes to greedy capitalists. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call.
Well, unfortunately, what's going on here is legal. The president actually has the authority to suspend the Davis-Bacon Act and
And where are the unions on
wages.
This? And where are the unions on this? I mean, the caller brings up a good point, an interesting point, and a historic point. Where are the unions on this? Are the unions down there in New Orleans raising Cain about this?
Well, you know, they're in a terrible situation. Their union halls were smashed down by the hurricane. Their people have been dispersed. The unions are trying hard. I've talked to people here, who are in contact with local unions in New Orleans and elsewhere, and it's very hard to get organized right now because their infrastructure is gone. But they, here in Washington, they are pushing to reverse that suspension and get Davis-Bacon put back into place. They have a real interest. I mean, they are the people who, you know, have skilled workers and apprenticeship programs and want to see the local people put back to work first.
Mm. Well, I want to thank you very much. Ross, where can people find out more information?
We have a website that is www.epi.org. That's the best place to go to get information from us.
And give out that website one more time, please.
www.epi.org.
Ross Eisenbray, Vice President and Policy Director for the Economic Policy Institute. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you, Liz.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us. We have much to talk about.
too blue, like a light bulb in a dark room. I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Kabul. 50 staff members of a UN-backed election commission that oversaw last month's Afghanistan elections have been fired for fraud allegations. About 700 ballot boxes, which is 3% of the total, had to be taken out of the counting process because of concerns that they had been stuffed. The investigations indicate the fraud measure slowed the counting of the ballots. A month after the voting took place, results have only been declared or revealed in 20 of the 34 provinces. Many of the declared winners are suspected warlords, and at least two former members of the Taliban were winners as well. The election laws prevented anyone with ties to armed groups from taking part in the elections, but many managed to slip past that regulations because of the sheer number of candidates who were voted for, which numbered about 2,800. And Dateline New York. Police arrested 18 grandmothers and charged them with disorderly conduct after they went to a military enlistment center in Times Square and said they wanted to enlist. The women ranged in age from 49 to 90. They sat down in front of the recruiting office in protest of the war. One of the women arrested was 90 years old and blind. The incident took place yesterday morning. The women said when they tried to get inside the office, the doors were locked, so they sat down in front of the place. The group called themselves Grandmothers Against the War. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Don, Ace Black helicopter pilot, your certified conspiracy hunter and all-around decent person. If you want to hear 3 hours of rock'em sock'em beat up on the New World Order crowd, tune in here at WGNU, 9:20 a.m. every Wednesday, 10 o'clock in the morning. We do a no-razzmatazz, brass-knuckles war on the New World Order crowd. Their house of cards is about to come crashing down, my friends. Come listen to the thunderous crash as we pull the linchpin from the fragile ivory towers of the neocons and insiders in Camp Runamuck every Wednesday morning, 10 a.m., with Decent Guy Don at WGNU, 9:20 a.m., Radio Free St. Louis. Stay tuned.
Always wanted to own your own home? Who doesn't? Ever worried about qualifying? Who hasn't? Never thought you'd qualify? Here's the answer to that question. Well, you will. Just call Lisa at 314-629-7830. Good credit, bad credit, no credit at all. Owner financing on beautiful rehabbed houses. Call Lisa Krumpaski at 629-7830 for the answer to your home buying question. 314-629-7830 or mail ldkpc at hotmail.com. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. What was the name of that series? I think it was in the early 60s, about Harriet the Maid. What was the name of that series? Where there was a maid by the name of Harriet, and I don't know why she is that television show is coming to my mind. I'm looking at this editorial about Harriet Myers. George W. Bush has flipped and flopped and Barnum and Bailey'd himself all over the place on this nomination. I think that there's a line from a new show, the Colbert Report that follows the Daily Show. And what Colbert does is spoof the O'Reilly Factor shows. And the line that I thought that was just precious and valuable as we assess the way that we get our information and the way that people bring things to us. Colbert was saying, was explaining his philosophy. He said, I am really tired of these Britannica Webster Dictionary thought police folks. I don't get my facts from my head. I get my facts from my gut. And my facts from my heart. That's where the facts come from. And no dictionary is going to tell me how to think. And well, no reference book is going to tell me whether I'm right or wrong. My heart and my gut tells me that I'm right or that I'm wrong. And that's kind of like what George W. Bush is, how he's foisting Harriet Myers on us. He has, on one hand, has said that Harriet Myers is we should look at her Christianity as proof of why we should support and believe in her, that she belongs to a very evangelical, a very conservative, a very, very Christian right type of church organization. We should trust that. And he ran away from that a little bit to talk about her credentials, that she's a very thorough, she's a bulldog, and she's got great credentials, and she is a follow-up type of gal. She says she's going to do something. She does it. She's a tough, disciplined attorney. And she's been my attorney for decades, or over a decade. Well, then explain to me how and why we would want somebody on the United States Supreme Court who said in her, one of the letters and information, pieces of information that she sent to the Senate, they're trying to find out about this woman. She said, and I quote, earlier this year, I received notice that my dues for the District of Columbia Bar were delinquent, and as a result, my ability to practice law in D.C. had been suspended. And as Maureen Dowd said, did that little dog on the birthday card she sent W eat her dues? Wait, what do you mean? You're the chick that wants to be a Supreme Court justice. You're representing George W. Bush as his lawyer, and your license has been suspended? And that's not just a glitch. That says that you are practicing law without a license every day that you're giving advice to George W. Bush. What, were your dues with the same place with the weapons of mass destruction? Huh? We should advocate for a Supreme Court justice, a woman who was practicing law without a license. She's really great at managing paperwork. She's really great at following through. Now, I'm the first person to understand that people's lives get busy and it's hard to tend to all of the things. But I don't have the staff that this girl has. And I'm not handling the legalities confronting the guy sitting in the presidency, that is in the office of the presidency. Her dues, she didn't pay her dues to keep her license current. She was representing the United States president as a lawyer, and she didn't have the license to do so. Oh, let's promote her to Supreme Court justice. Ooh, you know what? Man, I miss Karl Rove. At least we didn't have to hear about this stuff and deal with how crazy it is. Ooh, Lord help us. Lord help us. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back to tell you more stuff that makes you say, whoo. Stay with me. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. And stay strong.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air will be
is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Alex Stone. South Florida is in Hurricane Wilma's crosshairs. Wilma is now a Category 5 storm. Here's ABC's Jim Hickey.
A caution for everybody in South Florida.
We ask people in the Florida Keys and the Florida Peninsula to closely monitor the progress of Hurricane Wilma.
Jennifer Praglo at the National Hurricane Center. Wilma, a dangerous Category 5, appears.